much about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
But there is one voice that has never been heard before. The voice of old Mr. World himself. The way he might sound if he could speak to us in our own language. Mr. World, how was this wonderful, orderly earth of ours formed in the first place?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
We've got Snooki.
I always say that we are very fortunate in California because we have a lot of disasters.
One more question, Mr. Gore. Do you like cheese? And if so, what kind?
Cheese.
Cheese.
Sure. Yeah, I like cheddar cheese.
Cheddar cheese.
Thank you, Mr. Vice President. Nice to talk to you.
Thank you.
See you again, sir.
It's so rich and creamy, and I love that it's all natural.
Megan, I just want to say one question. Hello.
Oh, no hablo retardo, Speedy Gonzalez.
And now.
Yo, why are you locking me home?
Our feature presentation.
That's a good question. That really is. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's a brand new program, and it's Thursday morning, the 7th of January.
We have a couple of lines open if you want to get in on 1-800-520-1067. That is the number for Kevin and Bean's What to Do. Now, if you do everything you can to call today so we don't have to go to Carlos's call. All right. I thought of you yesterday, Kevin, because I thought you would love this story so much. The guy in Britain who, I don't know how he got involved in it. He's a travel agent in Britain, but he somehow became the guy that places racehorse bets for the mob.
Yes.
Oh, really?
And they would call, you know, people he did not know in the syndicate would call and tell him what race and what horse and how much, and he would place it, and then, you know, he'd be their guy. So he forgot to place a bet.
Oh, no.
And now that's not what you do when you're working for the mob. You do what the mob tells you to do, right?
Yeah, not even an accident. I mean, it's not even you don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You know, you have to do it like they say, or death.
You don't make mistakes.
Death follows you.
Exactly. So he forgets to place this a big important race coming up. He forgets to place the bet. So what do you do then if you realize now it's, you know, now you forgot to put the money in? He threatened to kill the racehorse. I don't know what the deadline was to put it's. This story confused me a little bit because it seems to me like in most races you can bet right up until, you know, right up until dead. 1 minute before the thing.
That's how it's here. Yeah.
Yeah, for whatever reason, the time limit passed. He hadn't placed the bet. He forgot. So he started sending emails and text messages to the owner of the horse saying, I'm going to kill your horse if you race that horse in the race.
Wow.
Because he figured it's not on him if the, you know, it's not on him that way.
It's a scratch, yeah.
It's a scratch, exactly, yeah. So,
pretty smart,
except for the fact that he said it from his email and from his text. So
well,
basically, the police just showed up and arrested him, and the horse ended up entering the race, and the horse ended up winning the race and paying off, you know, £50,000 or something like that.
He's probably lucky he got arrested.
In general,
they're protecting him for the moment.
In general, going into business with the mob is not a good idea.
Doesn't end well.
No,
is that what we learned from Tony Soprano?
Pretty much from everything in life.
You don't live a long, happy life.
No, you got to stay away from the mob.
Yeah.
First text message. Dear Peter, we would just like to warn you that should you run Conduit, which was the name of the horse, in the King George, then the horse will be killed. Then 5 days later, he followed up with an email to the general manager. Dear Peter, I don't believe you are taking the threat of death to Conduit very seriously. So they go to the police. He gets arrested. By the way, this is the thing. We always talk about this, man. We see so many stories where people do stuff that would put them in jail for a long time in this country. And in Britain, it seems like they want to put everybody out on the street. He got 34 weeks jail sentence, suspended.
You're kidding.
So no time?
No time. Now, wouldn't you imagine, especially as you pointed out, Lisa, this is the mob, he'd be begging to go into jail for 34 weeks.
Yeah.
Keep it as long as you want.
Wow.
So anyway,
and
there's your Kevin Bean citizen of the day.
They know that he places bets for the mob.
Yeah.
So
that.
He can't do that anymore, right?
Yeah, I think he's got nothing but bad news happening for him. So I guess that's the if you're looking for a lesson to take away from today's Kevin and Bean Show, it's if you've told the mob you're going to do something, go ahead and do that.
And there's always somebody that is more dumb than you, no matter what you do.
Good point.
So that should encourage you as well. All right, let's get started with your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067 for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1.
What it do, nephew?
So, what it do?
What it do, nephew?
As usual, get on the air, get a prize. Today, it's a pair of passes for you to Universal Studios Hollywood, the entertainment capital of Los Angeles, where you can buy a day and you can get a year for free. Why don't we start with, well, let's mix it up and start with Brian calling us first thing today. Brian just hung up, didn't he?
Oh, yes, he did.
Brian had a fascinating call. All right, why don't we try Jack then? Jack is calling us on line 6 today on the Kevin Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Hey, Jack.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's going on?
Hey, Jack, what do you do?
Hey, I have a story about a couple weeks ago. I was getting pretty intimate with my ex in my bedroom. And we were getting pretty, you know, pretty hot and stuff, but it was kind of embarrassing because I couldn't really aspire a full, you know, a full erection. And it was actually my first
Do you
time
think you were calling Loveline? What's going on here?
Excuse me?
I said, did you think you were calling Loveline when you picked up the phone?
No, no, man. I just, you know, try to get you guys a take on it, your opinion about it, you know?
It sucks. Thanks for calling.
Bean doesn't want wow. too close to the truth, Bean.
Yeah, what's happening here, Bean? Why did he anger you so much?
A little bit of hate there.
It's not that. There are some things we just can't, that are difficult for us to talk about.
Well, that is true.
And keep our jobs, that's all.
But we could laugh at him.
We could.
Oh, we could absolutely
laugh
at him.
We could find out how mad he is at his ex.
Sure. I mean,
you could.
There are a lot of factors.
We could say,
I bet you can't get a boner.
You could say that.
I just hope that his girlfriend is happy with whoever's next. I guess that'd be the message that I would be sending out there.
All right.
Should upgrade.
Let's go to Matt. Hey, Matt.
Hi, Matt.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What'd it do?
Well, crazy neighbors. I got this one crazy neighbor. Actually, he lives, like, right below me.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, this guy's, like, he tried to get us evicted and for his own mistakes.
Right.
And, like, this guy's, like, 44 years old. He lives at home with his mom and, like, a 16-year-old cat. And, to cut to the chase, like, he went to go tell the manager that my dad was trying to, get him fired so my dad could take his job.
Right.
And, the manager came and she started to talk to us about it, and then we told her.
Right.
And then after that, the manager was all like she was just shocked.
Right.
And then
what happened?
Like, she fired him straight out. She fired him.
She fired him.
Yeah.
No way,
and, like,
really?
Yeah, and he works for the apartments too, and he's been working.
Never been so bored.
And then what happened?
Like,
don't encourage him, Kevin. Come on.
But he'll keep going. If you,
I know
that,
he will
keep going.
And he's thinking right now as he's talking to us on the phone, I am killing it. Listen to it. Listen to me. I am bringing it. I am entertaining the masses.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
I don't even know if that was a good story or not. I lost interest so early on. I hope somebody got something out of it. I didn't. All I heard was, womp, 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 womp.
All right. Weird morning,
let's
isn't
go
it?
To Carlos.
Yeah, we're 0 for 2.
Hi, Carlos.
Hey, Kevin Bean. Hey, baby boo.
Hey.
All right. Well, we're going to give you a chance here, Carlos. What's going on?
I just wanted to give a big up to Dave King of Mexico for the Clippers beating the Lakers yesterday. Tell me how horrible Kobe looked yesterday.
Didn't Kobe have 33 or something?
What are you talking about?
No, he missed so many shots. He was just forcing everything. I mean,
didn't he have 33 or something?
But they were within 3, and he just kept, what's it called, trying to throw floaters in the middle of the clock.
Hey, Carlos,
lane.
If you don't mind, we just have a question. Didn't he have 33?
But didn't he lose?
Well, yeah. We're not arguing that.
But Kobe looked awful was not the problem. Look, let me give you some perspective here, Carlos, and I don't care. I don't have a horse in this race at all. But the Lakers have won 9 out of the last 10 times they beat the Clippers. So you've really got a long way to go before you start bragging.
But who ran the town yesterday?
Well, that's true. I mean, if 1 out of 10 is your goal, then you've accomplished it. Congratulations.
He's right. And he's, of course, mentioning the song by the King of Mexico.
Yes.
And I sort of made a bet with the King of Mexico yesterday that if the Clippers happened to win, we'd play a song again.
Okay.
So I'm going to have to squeeze that in.
Yes. Well, that seems fair.
A little bit later on today. Yeah.
Dave's going to be insufferable today, though, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're right. They need to win 10 years straight before somebody should say something. But not Dave. No. He loves his Clippers, and he will come in and gloat and just have a great time.
Dave was so happy last night because the game was on ESPN, too, nationally televised. So he just was like, oh, man, that's what they need. If they play like that under that kind of national spotlight, then let's put them on TV more.
Yeah. They're not going to play like that for the most part.
Brad, hi. Hello, Brad.
Hey, Brad, what'd it do?
Hi, it's Brian.
Or,
yes.
Okay.
Lisa May, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good, thank you.
All right, so I was watching the news the other day, and I came upon a blind marching band from Ohio. I don't know if you can picture it or imagine it for yourself, but...
How do they do that?
Blind marching band.
So, yeah, it's a blind marching band. What they do is they walk around, and they have assistants behind them, and they march them around the field in a coordinated pattern.
Wow.
Okay, what's the point of that?
That is a damn good question. For their entertainment... I guess you could say.
I don't understand the point of actual marching bands. I think that's the crappiest form of entertainment. But if they're blind, somehow I'm in.
I think that's cool.
Yeah.
I think that's a sport. That's not entertainment.
Yeah, they have to wear the actual football pads as well as the players.
Yeah.
I mean, look, I don't have any problem with a blind person wanting to learn to play an instrument and getting into music. That's fine. But what's the point of trotting them out there on a field as a marching band at a sporting event? I mean there's nothing in that for the performer. They can't see or appreciate it.
No, but I think it would be a thrill for them. They know where they are. They know what they're doing.
How do they know where they are? Could be sound effects record.
They're not retarded.
For all they know.
How do they put music in the first place? Like reading the notes and all that? That's incredible.
Well, but you can play music without reading music. I mean, you could just learn to play it, you know, based on sound.
They are blind. I think the marching part is the thing that interests me.
Yeah.
Imagine how much practice.
Yeah, that's true.
Let's
I think
do
that's
it
kind
again,
of inspiring.
People. Let's do it again.
And how much fun it would be to intentionally screw up their choreography so they all run into one another in a big circle.
I don't think you would have to do much, Dean. I don't think you'd really have to take
all right,
a
lot of
action there.
Let's take one more before we tell you about today's Kevin DeBean show, and it's going to be Hiram. Because I don't believe we've ever had a Hiram in all the years we've been doing this show. He's on line 5. Hey, hi.
How you guys doing?
We're good. Hi.
What's happening?
Hey, listen, I don't listen to you guys at 5:30 a.m., but your first three callers were terrible.
Aren't they great?
Yes.
What is going on?
You know what's
I don't
funny?
Know what's
they were
going on.
Especially terrible.
You know what's
I'm
funny?
Not,
is
I'm not
it...
waking up this early in the morning ever again to listen to you guys.
Well, don't if you don't have to. Yeah, I don't know. It's really funny because sometimes every call is gold,
mm-hmm.
and then sometimes, like today, you want to take your life.
Yeah.
And there's no way to know which way it's going to go.
We apologize, though.
But no, don't apologize. It was entertaining, but it was terrible. I had to call.
Do you want us to go back to Matt and ask him more about his neighbor?
I think he's still talking.
And his landlord?
He could be.
He'd be happy to.
There may be some, I doubt it, but there could be some details he hadn't gotten to yet. All right, Hiram, we accept your score. That we take some of the responsibility for attracting this kind of listener, but thank you for calling anyway. Hang on for your prize.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBean show, shall we?
Okay.
Hey, everyone. Kevin's going to give us his take on the situation. Let's listen up.
We have Morgan Spurlock on the program
today. Yeah.
He's great.
He's a Super Size Me guy. Documentary filmmaker. Now he's got a special on The Simpsons that airs this weekend, which is just unbelievable. The Simpsons, 20 years on TV.
Yeah, this is their 450th episode.
Wow.
How crazy is that? And really, the quality has not gone down.
No, you're right.
Which is almost impossible. But he did it. I guess you could watch the show, and then he's got a thing afterwards where he, you know, it's a documentary, and he goes behind the scenes and checks it out.
That's
and
cool.
It looks great. I was supposed to watch it yesterday, but I think I left it in the other room. I can't. I don't know what happened.
Kevin.
Searched my car, couldn't find it. Searched the house, couldn't find it. I don't know. I got problems. Also on today's show, we're going to talk about sports rivals in relationships. Because it seems like a bad plan.
Hey, if you were a Laker fan married to a Clipper fan, last night would be a perfect example of how it would be a little frosty around your house for one of you.
Yeah, that's pretty lopsided. You know what I mean?
Yeah, because you got a team that never wins.
Right, and a team that always wins.
Right.
So the person who's the Laker fan can just go, whatever. So
but
what?
If you have two really strong teams that are rivals.
Yeah, or it's a real
hatred.
You know, the Dodgers and San Francisco Giants, for example.
Right.
I mean, how are you in a relationship?
Red Sox
you're
Yankees.
Not.
Red Sox Yankees, right.
You're not. You don't marry a Celtics fan. You don't marry a Giants fan.
But people do.
But they're dumb. Ralph hit it on the nose yesterday. You might as well marry a Nazi. It's the same thing.
I'm not sure it's the same thing, but I think we understand this point.
Yeah.
Well, we'll discuss that later, and we'll take your calls if you're in a relationship like that. But I think what I'm suggesting, Mike, is maybe there are other factors that will outweigh the person's poor choice in teams.
Right. Well, look.
I'm sure there's a lot of people who give to charity but are pedophiles, and it's the same thing because the pedophile outweighs it. And if you're a Celtics fan, you're like a pedophile.
You can't be a good person.
By the way, that is science. That's true. That's been proven. Also on today's show, we're going to talk to Travis Pastrana.
What's he been up to?
Nothing.
Just flying. That's all he's been up to. He's just getting in a car and just taking it out over the water.
New Year's Eve, jumping off the pier, Long Beach. And that seems like a bad plan.
We just keep talking to him until he's not around anymore.
Until he's dead, right, yeah, exactly.
Because that's what he's aiming for.
It's really something. Every time we go, what? You're what? Why? You're jumping out of an airplane without a parachute? Don't do that. That's what parachute. First of all, don't jump out of a plane. Second of all, have a parachute. That's an option.
That's the point, right? Yeah.
And we're going to talk to Dua Vid. I don't know if you remember Dua Vid, but
of course.
Or you didn't hear it the first time, but he, we helped him marry, become engaged and marry a mannequin.
Mm-hmm.
And he loves the mannequin.
He does.
And he tried to leave Southern California and make a life for himself in a bunch of different cities. Seattle's the latest one. He hates Seattle. Hates it. Mm-hmm. He's trying to get
people don't understand his kind of love, I guess.
That's
so
right.
He wants to move on, right?
That's right. So he wants to move on. He wants to go to Canada.
Mm.
But he needs some help because he can't get a passport for his mannequin.
Why does she need a passport? Isn't she plastic?
That's my point. Can't you just break her apart and
she's
put her
luggage.
In luggage? But to him, that's his wife.
Huh.
Well, true.
All right. Okay. We got some talking to
love do. That guy. Love that guy. So we're
they seem very happy together. Mike, of course, is the one who married them. I mean, he's the guy who performed the ceremony, and he came back that day and said, he's not goofing. This is genuine affection from dude toward this mannequin. Right, Mike?
Oh, totally. He loves her. He's finally found the love of his life, and he was really, really overjoyed that day that he could meet someone that he had a connection with.
Well, she near. I hate to be on his side too much, but she is very nearly the perfect woman. She's hot, and she shuts the F up.
Wow.
I can't imagine why women hate Bean.
Nope.
Immediately. We'll get on an elevator. Bean won't say a word, and women are fuming.
Because that right there, you can smell it on him.
You can smell that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you really can. All right, we need to take a break. We'll come back with Ralph Showbiz Bean.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show for Thursday. Incubus on the way. Also, Phoenix, 30 Seconds to Mars, and more. Ralph Garman in studio with our first look at the Showbiz Beat for a new day. Hey, Ralph, how are you?
I'm just saying maybe the first segment of the day shouldn't be a segment where Bean interacts with the public. That's all I'm saying.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know we've mentioned several times you're crazier than usual this week, and I'm not sure why.
And when the calls don't go just as well as they possibly could,
right?
Oh,
you attack.
I feel bad for those people.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
Those people deserved it today, though. That wasn't on me. I was doing my part. They dropped the ball, right? I mean, you guys are with me on that. You're not defending those calls.
We're not defending the calls
at all. I'm just saying, you know, that's the bit that sometimes it goes well and sometimes it doesn't go so well.
Mm-hmm.
And when it doesn't go so well, I'm just saying, maybe a flamethrower shouldn't be used in place of a Bic lighter sometimes. That's all I'm saying. they're for the same intent, but the intensity of that experience is very different.
Bean does go after them strongly. That's what you're saying.
What do you think you're doing? Call it Love Line? Well, good luck with that. I hope your girlfriend likes it next. Next. Wah, wah, wah. Like, oh, these poor people.
Our poor listeners trying to endure that segment.
I know. Look.
Yeah, how about that? I'm their advocate.
It's a crapshoot at best. But when it goes bad.
I'm screaming at the people on the phone the same thing that the other people listening to the radio are screaming at us for allowing that to happen.
The difference is that the listeners have to hear the calls and they have to hear you be bitchy.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So they have a double whammy.
I'm doing the best I can.
Sometimes use a scalpel, sometimes use a cleaver. I'm just saying.
No scalpels.
No scalpels. Just cleaver.
We've got Snooki.
We do have Snooki. I am starting off today's Showbiz Beat with what may be the saddest news I've ever heard.
Uh-oh.
And I feel bad, and I'm sorry to have to be the one to break the news to you.
Uh-oh.
But David Hasselhoff is leaving America's Got Talent. He is quitting.
Mm-mm.
America's
Mm-mm.
Got Talent.
No. No.
Yes?
No. No. No.
Sorry.
No.
He is leaving.
Hell no.
Yes?
No.
He's leaving the show.
No.
Yes.
No.
After 4 years as judge, he has announced he is leaving America's Got Talent.
Mm-hmm.
He no longer will be judging along with Piers Morgan and Sharon Osbourne.
I have a question.
Yes, Kevin.
How many people believe that he's leaving?
I do. I just said it.
I know. I know. And that's what he's saying, and that's what his PR... They have... Don't you think that show had to cut him loose?
Oh, you're saying he's got
yes.
fired.
Yes, yes,
oh.
yes.
I thought you said he would be back, you know, when the show came back.
No,
he was
no.
not going to be going away.
I just... He keeps relapsing, and he keeps having...
That's true.
...huge problems with alcohol.
If that's the case, Kevin, would he be getting his own TV show?
Oh, man.
Second half of the story?
Probably not.
David said he is going to do his own show for NBC.
And it's the same kind of show?
I have no idea what kind of show it is, but he said he's leaving the show in order to do his own TV show.
Right.
Variety show.
Oh, wouldn't that be the best if he brought back the variety show?
He performs every show.
Do a monologue and sing and dance with guests and do sketches. Oh.
Jump in my car.
Oh, yes.
That would be great.
Oh, yes. Talking about freedom, people. Him singing on top of the Berlin Wall. No one around. Awesome.
He brought down the Berlin Wall, you know.
He did.
There'd still be communism if it weren't for Hasselhoff.
He did. Latest word on Johnson & Johnson heiress Casey Johnson is that
still
apparently
dead?
She is still dead. In fact, she's well dead. She is seriously dead.
Okay.
Well, how dead can you be?
Well, the story is that she had been dead for at least several days in her home before her body was discovered on Monday morning.
Mm.
So she was way dead. Before ever anyone even knew about it.
Deader than regular dead.
To which I would like to know, why don't Paris Hilton and Tila Tequila start tweeting, gosh, if only I'd cared enough to check in on this person I say I love so much for the past week, maybe we would have found her body sooner. Where's that tweet? Instead of, R.I.P., I miss you so much, angel in heaven, I'll marry you when we get to heaven, you're my best friend, I miss you, I love you.
Especially since those few days that we're talking about included New Year's Eve, which you think would be when Tila Tequila, I don't know, might plan to spend time with her fiancé.
No.
Yeah, it's an odd story, top to bottom.
In the last interview Casey Johnson gave, by the way, she told the New York Post that her biggest regret in life.
Okay, biggest.
This is a woman who adopted a small baby girl from Kazakhstan and then had her taken away by her mother because she could not care for the child.
Right.
This is a woman, by all accounts, who lived in squalor in her Hollywood Hills home that she was renting with no gas, no electricity.
Wow.
Animal feces strewn about the floor, graffiti on the walls, rats living in the pool. This is a woman who was a hot mess. Greatest regret in life? What do you think it was?
Being engaged to Tila Tequila, I hope.
No. That she didn't get the role opposite Paris Hilton in the Simple Life reality TV series.
That's her greatest?
Greatest regret in life, according to her interview with the New York Post.
Wow.
That explains the engagement to Tila Tequila.
That's all you need to know.
Yeah.
That's all you need to know.
still dead, though, is what you're saying.
Still dead, okay. Yes. Well dead. And congratulations to Avatar. Not only it is the movie that has reached the $1 billion mark in box office sales the fastest, but now it is also the record setter for the fastest pirated movie on the internet.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. Avatar was downloaded illegally on the internet 500,000 times within the first 48 hours of its release. It's a record.
Wow, that's amazing.
Nice work, Kevin.
Dude.
And King of Mexico. Nice work.
You.
And nice work.
Well, I haven't seen it yet, but if there's one thing I've heard about Avatar, it's the kind of movie you want to see in a bootleg copy on a laptop.
No, I heard a phone. You should watch it on a phone. That's what I heard. You can possibly see it on an iPhone. That's the way to go.
It's wasted in IMAX and 3D. Just see it on your phone.
And Twilight fans, known as the Twi-tards, of course, are up in arms. After a script for the third installment of the popular film series was leaked online. Apparently the script for Eclipse...
Oh.
Has been leaked online. The script was stamped with the name of an actor named Jackson Rathbone. You know, when they give you these scripts now for these big, high-profile movies, they have your name imposed upon it. So that if you try to copy it or send it to someone else, your name is...
Yeah, they know who to blame.
They can trace it where it comes
I don't know who Jackson Rathbone is, but he's in big, big trouble. Anyway, the fans who have read it are up in arms because it does not... they've got problems with it, doesn't do something that was in the book, and blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
They still have the talking dogs in the third one, Lisa, apparently, do you know?
Those are wolves.
So they're all very upset, and apparently the only solution that I can find is that you all kill yourselves.
Wow.
No,
that's
really.
That's the only solution that you can
come up with. That's the only way out. That's the only way out. Look, let's face it. It is a travesty beyond words if Eclipse doesn't follow the book exactly.
Sure.
And so what you should do is mass suicide, Twihard.
Well, you don't want to live. You don't want to live in a world where that kind of sacrilege is allowed.
You Twilight fans should all just open a vein and just say, "Come and get me, Edward," and just bleed out. That's my solution for you. I think that would help your situation since you're so upset about Eclipse and what you read on Murder. Just take it out.
Yeah. So you're a fan of the franchise and its fans.
I am.
Okay. Just want to make sure I understand.
Today's celebrity birthdays, actor David Caruso.
Yeah!
He's 54 years old today. Katie Couric, TV personality, of course, the anchor for the CBS Evening News. 53 years old today. Rapper Doug E. Doug. Wow, I expected a bigger reaction for Doug E. Doug. Now, we have a lot of Doug E. Doug fans here at the studio.
You expected any reaction for that?
He's 40 years old. Dustin Diamond.
Uh-oh.
Screech. Oh, no.
From Saved by the Bell is 33 years old today. And actor Nicolas Cage, one of my favorite actors. He is 46 years old today. I'm more of a birthday cake protector. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show for a Thursday. The Westboro Baptist Church is back in the news. You guys recognize that name?
Yes.
They're the most hateful, awful, evil people in this world.
Yeah.
The church is based in Topeka, Kansas. It has been around since 1955, but has really vaulted into mainstream culture in the last 15 years or so because they started protesting against the gays. That was their big thing, was the gays. And then they spread it out to almost, it seems like they hate America sometimes because they protest, you know, servicemen's funerals and things like that because America is too receptive to gays. It all boils down to the gays. That's their big thing.
Right.
Well, it's funny to me to see how much time and energy they are now spending on hating on Lady Gaga. Lady Gaga is now in their crosshairs. Here's what the Westboro Baptist Church of Topeka, Kansas has to say. WBC is to picket this sleazy God-hater at the Fox Theater tonight, by the way, from 6:30 to 7:30 in St. Louis. They're going to show up with all their supporters, and they're going to picket her, right? Art and fashion are the euphemisms, the guise under which proud whore Lady Gaga teaches rebellion against God. Incidentally, her claim to the title of Lady is sound only if she tacks on of the night, thereby alluding to another euphemism for what she is. And they just go on and on and on about Lady Gaga. Now, it's surprising to me that they picked her out as somebody specifically to go after. I mean, she's a weirdo, but right. She's not really offensive, is she?
Not that I've noticed.
I don't know. I don't have any idea. Has she come out and said that she's bisexual or that she's
yes.
gay?
Yeah,
yes. So that's what it is. It's the same theme.
Yeah, I guess. So they're taking it a step further this time. They're not only going to be picketing her show in St. Louis, but this is the first time they've done this that I know. Megan Phelps, who's the daughter of Fred, the leader of the cult, she's gone into the studio to record essentially an answer record, a parody record of Poker Face. She's actually written and recorded a song about Lady Gaga. You don't see that coming from most Baptist churches these days.
You don't. You should, but you don't. But at least it's super, super high quality.
Okay.
So you got that going for you.
All right. Good.
So welcome to Horish Face.
This is not Omar in the other room, by the way. This is actually Megan Phelps from the Westboro Baptist Church, Topeka, Kansas. Talking about how Lady Gaga is going to hell.
Mama, mama. Let's go.
All right, go then, go.
You wanna strut like you're unique, but baby, please. Monster lady, gay, show your teeth, this is all me.
See? Oh, I'm
what?
Sorry. She's Lady Gay.
First of all, she's Lady Gay.
She is Lady Gay.
Wow.
That's the beginning. But then I also wanted you to hear, and I stopped it right in the middle, unfortunately, of the, you know how you have like little throwaway lines? Just little things that you just kind of throw in, they don't need to be there or whatever, they're usually not important.
Mm-hmm.
This one.
Me. God hates you. Oh, 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 oh.
They just throw it away.
God hates you. God hates you.
This is the thing about this group, is that they know that God hates everyone but them.
Yeah.
Right.
And the weird thing that kind of sets him apart from most people who believe in God, or and even people who believe that God hates sin, whatever, is that they are so
happy and overjoyed, and it seems to just bring them such a sense of satisfaction to tell people that God hates them.
Right, and that they're going to hell. Right,
yes,
exactly.
They giggle, they love it. And you would think at best, if they believed what they were saying, they would, you know, they would be a little bit more serious and try to not...
You think people, a lot of people would be like, we will pray for you?
Exactly. That's right. What most other Baptists do, which is why, by the way, the other Baptists have distanced themselves as much as they can, saying, look, these people don't believe anything that we believe in. But most other Christians and other people of other faith will basically say, this is what I believe, and I pray that you come to understand it as I do, because I'm worried for your eternal damnation. Not... God hates you and you're going to hell.
It's on me. God hates you. Oh, 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 you pissed off God. You'll see what he's got. Oh, 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 you pissed off God. You'll see what he's got.
All right, now this is where they really kick in. This is where it comes into high gear. This is a chorus, and this is where they really drive it home.
You ain't God. You ain't God. No, you.
Okay, so you don't have a poker face. That's their comeback. Their comeback is, she says, poker face, and then they go, nuh-uh.
No, you don't.
You don't have, but listen to what they do have.
You just got, yeah, you just got your whorish face.
Oh!
No poker face.
No, you didn't.
You wanna lie to them, and hell you all will be. A little fire is all fun when you're with me.
God hates you.
Russian roulette is what you're playing, silly Claude. But every chamber's loaded when you're playing with your God. Oh, 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 oh.
Well, I can't wait for the remix.
You'll see what he's got.
Ralph was funny yesterday in the office. He called them the Weird Al of hate.
That's who these people are.
Oh, 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 oh. God,
we're just gonna
you'll
get
see
to the
what he's got. You ain't God, no, you ain't got no poker face. You show your filth to everybody. You just got, yeah, you just got your whorish face.
There it is.
Whorish face.
See?
Look, she's silly and all, but how offended can you be by Lady Gaga, for God's sake? She's a disco singer. I mean, seriously.
I just picked her because she's really popular right now.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah.
And because this chick wants a recording contract.
I would go so far as to say, and these people, you know, these are the type of people that boycott soldiers' funerals when they come home.
Yeah.
It's their funeral.
And they picket them. Yeah,
they picket them. Yeah.
Right. So that's these people. And I don't want to agree with anything they say. But she sort of does have a whorish face as well. Right? Lady Gaga. I mean, she does.
Well, who knows? She's always behind a fence or something.
That's accurate. That's all I'm saying.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We got Bush on the way. Also, Weezer, Rage Against the Machine, Apocalyptica, and more. Right now, though, we've got to talk about a topic very near and dear to Kevin's heart. You didn't make the best dress list in GQ this year, Kevin. What happened?
What a shock, right?
Did
are striped shirts out of favor this year or something?
Listen, I 9 out of 10 years was good enough for me. I had a good run. So, you know.
Robert Pattinson from Twilight was the best dressed man on the new GQ list, and he does look pretty sharp. He can't act his way out of a paper bag, but he does look good. Elton John's partner David Furnish is in the top 10 list. Tom Ford, the designer and now movie director, the lead singer of the Arctic Monkeys, is on that list. Look, we can talk all day about people who are well-dressed. Let's talk about the worst-dressed people of the world. That's the list I'm excited about.
Yeah, this is good. French President Nicolas Sarkozy is one of them.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Comedian Russell Brand.
Agreed.
That's a pretty tough one to argue.
I could see that, yeah.
He does look like a homeless gypsy, Russell Brand. He always seems to be wearing, like, I don't know.
Lots of scarves
and frilly shirts. It looks like he found it at a Goodwill store. Yeah, I don't get his style at all, but apparently it works to get Katy Perry. Mm-hmm.
So he's on the list, and reclusive North Korean leader Kim Jong-il is also on the list of GQ's worst-dressed men.
Oh, he must not be happy about that.
Have you seen him?
What is he? Doesn't he just wear
He wears like a jumpsuit, like a gray jumpsuit.
Is it gray?
It's usually gray. 24/7. I mean, that's No, he really,
that's his uniform.
Rarely changes.
Is easy.
Yeah. But he has those like gangstered out glasses.
He does. Yeah,
yeah, those that's awesome. True.
Well, they're sort of gangstered out glasses, or they're like big socialite woman glasses.
Yeah. You know what I mean? That's like, what they look like. They yeah. look like sun visors that the old Asian women wear when they see him driving around. Exactly. He's a bizarre little guy, but we, believe it or not, have had a relationship with Kim Jong-il for many years now. And I think, do we have Mr. Jong-il on the phone?
We have his brother Kim.
What did I say?
I can't say it. Kim Jong-il, good morning.
Hey, Rhonda, how you go?
Well, we're fine, Mr. President. How are you feeling today?
Good. Nice timing with the song.
A little late. I was waiting for the song. I didn't know what was going on there.
That's a little late.
Play it over the bit. Good idea. That way people can't hear
what?
It.
You are the president of North Korea, of course, and you are on GQ Magazine's worst dress list of the year for 2009.
What?
Yes, you were actually number one of the worst dressed people in the world.
What? How is that possible?
Wait, you didn't know that?
I thought Prime Minister Gordon Brown was the worst dressed man of the year from GQ Magazine, according to this article.
Oh, maybe you were number two then.
It does.
Yeah, I was not number one at all.
The first sentence of the article does say Prime Minister Gordon Brown has received the
re-election right. kick in the pants.
Yeah.
Being named number the worst dressed man of the year by GQ Magazine.
You know, right. English isn't even his first language.
I know. I may be an evil dictator, but I can read the goddamn article.
Perhaps we need a do-over on this entire bit.
No.
Should we go back to where we bring you on the phone and I get your name wrong?
Excellent. I'm enjoying it. I wish I was listening to it instead of doing it.
All right. So
I can
just
only imagine the glee of everyone driving in their cars on the 405.
For those keeping score.
Lucky, lucky people.
I screwed up the name. Kevin screwed up the theme music. Right. And then I screwed up the ranking of you on the worst dress list.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, but so far so good.
Yeah.
Now, does it offend you to be on the list?
Well, of course it offends me. I'm very proud of where I dress. I think it's a very stylish outfit I wear. My entire wardrobe is based on henchmen from the 1960s James Bond movie. Thank you, Michael Mike.
Wait, how do you know his name?
I know everything.
Wow.
I am the beloved leader.
That's true. That is true.
And my glasses are not only stylish but useful. Because when I take them off, I can burn ants with them.
Really?
Yeah. I hold them up to the sun, and I can burn all the ants.
Wow, I didn't realize that was...
It's very effective if you have ants that need burning.
Right, sure.
But you still dress like Chairman Mao did in 1965. I mean, it just doesn't seem like your fashion style has evolved at all into the 21st century.
Hey, if it ain't broke, don't fix it, I always say. It worked for Mao, and look where Mao is now.
Mao dead.
Right.
Wow.
Mao dead, so that's Mao. Where Mao is now.
Mao down. I guess you'd say. Mao down.
So are you going to change the way you dress now that you've been named not number one on the worst list, worst dress list in America?
Yes, I'm going to call Gordon Brown and see what he dressed like and ask him who he is. Because I have no idea who Gordon Brown is.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, is he the guy who yells at people in the kitchen?
No, that's Gordon Ramsay. This is the guy who's the Prime Minister of Britain.
Oh, he's an important man.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
exactly.
Yes.
I got to make a note. Bomb England.
Well, no, don't do that.
Why not? Well, they dress ugly.
Well, of course they do, but you're on the list as dressing the ugliest. I mean, you're on that list. You're the top 10.
I'm not the ugliest.
I know you're not the ugliest, but you're
Gordon
on the list. You're on the list of the ugliest dressers.
Who else on list?
What?
Who else on list?
A Russell Brand, comedian.
Oh, he got Katy Perry.
Yes.
Yes, he does.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, she got big boobies.
She does. That's
she
true.
Does indeed.
Oh.
Yeah.
Maybe she dressed like Russell Brand.
I would like to ride on one of her boobies. I'm a small man. I can grab hold of just one of them.
You are quite
that's
small.
True. Yeah.
It'd be like hugging like a big tree and hold on for whatever it's worth.
Well, I wish you well with that.
Thank
good luck.
You very much. Good luck to you, too.
And congratulations on making the list again.
Oh, God damn it.
I know.
I hate you.
I know. Me too.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah, not even an accident. I mean, it's not even just, you don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You know, you have to do it like they say.
That was what? A Moment with Kevin. That's
good.
Highly edited.
Highly edited.
No. Wonder where, highly what was that edited. One from?
That was from this morning.
Oh, I missed that this morning.
Start off the show, yeah.
Wow.
It's the Kevin DeBean Show for a Thursday. We'll catch up with our friend Travis Pastrana coming up next hour about his big New Year's Eve Red Bull jump. That was amazing. You can see video of it at KevinDeBean.com. We'll be talking to Travis in less than an hour. Right now, Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. Hey, Ralph.
Looks like Charlie Sheen starting to lose work because of all this controversy regarding the argument he had with his wife over the holiday. Hanes has announced they will no longer be running their Charlie Sheen Hanes underwear commercials.
I thought those were pretty good, by the way. Those are the ones with Michael Jordan?
Yeah.
Yeah, those. I thought those were pretty good.
They're fine.
I mean, as far as underwear commercials go.
Apparently, they said they have severed the relationship. I don't know if you want to use that phrasing when you're talking about Charlie Sheen. Hanes is not running the Hanes TV commercials featuring Charlie Sheen, a spokesperson said. Those commercials will not run again.
You know, there's been no proof of anything yet.
Right.
They're kind of jumping the gun here.
Yeah, I guess they don't want their product connected even with the image or the potential image of impropriety with Charlie Sheen.
Not even no proof. She took some of it back, right? I mean, she actually said...
And they're trying to reconcile, right. Yeah. It is ridiculous because Hanes undershirts are excellent for soaking up blood, too.
It's true.
I've always found. So I would think there would be a whole new market for them, really. Hey, cut your wife's throat? Use Hanes. It'll be a brand new commercial. Why don't they expand? Why don't they get a, think outside the box?
Good point.
That may be too far outside the
box.
Come
on, Hanes.
For them.
Look, no tags to scratch your back. Also soaks up blood from murders. Come on, Hanes.
Just throw it in. It's only one of the selling points.
Throw it in, exactly, is what I'm saying. Heather Locklear.
Yes.
Has returned to Melrose Place, the revamped version of Melrose Place. However, apparently she is not as committed to the show as possibly she could be.
Is that right?
If you believe the National Enquirer. She called out sick several days in a row, apparently, while shooting the most recent episodes. And cost producers $600,000 because they're supposed to film at some costly locations.
Wow.
And she just didn't show up, and the delay in production cost them $600,000, and they're all cheesed off at Heather Locklear.
Wow.
Was she really sick, or is this one of those she was protesting poor scripts or something like that?
The story from National Enquirer seems to allude to a mystery illness, which makes me think that perhaps there's more to the story than what it is. But apparently producers are unhappy with their new star. But you need her. What are you going to do? The show is on the bubble, and they need as much star power as they can get. So.
I was going to ask you, Ralph, because you're the only non-gay, non-girl I know that watches that show. How has Heather Locklear been on it? Has she reinvigorated the program as the producers hoped she might?
Well, we haven't seen it. She's only been on a couple episodes.
Okay, so no real results yet?
But the ones she's been in have been great because she's taking over as the landlord of the apartment complex. So she's going to be meddling in everyone's lives.
I like it.
And I'm very excited about that. Especially Katie Cassidy!
Yeah.
Katie Cassidy's so beautiful. Sylvester Stallone is hurt.
No!
Hurt? Yeah. Apparently, while filming The Expendables, which promises, by the way, to be the greatest movie of all time, The Expendables has, like, Jean-Claude Van Damme in it, and Stallone, and Jason Statham, and it's like every action star from the past 20 years is in this movie.
Yeah.
He was filming a fight scene with Stone Cold Steve Austin. And it got so severe that Stallone got a hairline fracture in his neck.
Wow.
Live for nothing or die for something.
Had to undergo a serious operation, left him with a metal plate in his neck.
Oh, my gosh.
Sounds bad.
Well, it's not. Doesn't sound good.
No, it doesn't. But he does for his art, man. So he said he's been in a lot of pain, but he's starting to feel better. So.
When you're pushed. Killing's as easy as breathing.
True. Oh, last night were the annual People's Choice Awards. Everyone catch the People's Choice Awards last night? Oh, the People's Choice Awards. Just the greatest award ceremony just ever.
Didn't even know they were on.
You know, maybe you saw them under their other name, the Total Effing BS Awards. Maybe that's why. Maybe your TiVo didn't pick up on it.
I would have watched that.
This is the one where the only stars in attendance are the ones who have been told in advance that they win. And they sit them in the audience right up by the stage.
Yeah.
And nobody else that loses is there.
Yeah. Any award show where you can vote for it in the back of TV Guide, I've always said, can't be any goddamn good. Twilight won the Best Film Award.
Oh, how shocking.
Oh, wow.
This is just to go to show you.
Twilight.
Yeah.
I like Twilight. That's ridiculous.
The best film of the year, Lisa.
That's ridiculous.
Breakout movie star of the year, Taylor Lautner.
Okay.
Best on-screen team, Rob Pattinson and Kristen Stewart.
Wow, it's all Twilight all the time.
Twilight.
It took four major awards in the six major categories, apparently. Best actress, Sandra Bullock for The Proposal.
Really? Wow. This is a parody.
Best female musical artist, Taylor Swift.
Wow.
Best male musical artist, Keith Urban. See, these are people who are voting. It's the trailer parks.
Yeah.
It's the people at the trailer parks who are filling out the TV guide in the back. Hey, Ethel, I'm going to fill out this People's Choice Award. We matter, too. I'm putting in Keith Urban. I'll show them. With their Kanye West. So, congratulations to all the winners, I guess.
I didn't see a minute of the show because it's all, but they have performances or anything? I mean,
dude, I've never watched.
And Bean is the one guy on this program that will force himself to watch award shows, but not that one.
Yeah.
Not that one.
Before I get to celebrity birthdays, I've got some tickets to give away. The movie is Daybreakers, which looks awesome, by the way.
It does.
I know Kevin's a big fan, like I am, of the vampire movies, and this premise apparently is they're keeping a handful of regular mortals alive, regular humans alive, just in order to drink their blood, but they're running out. And there's a panic. There's a shortage of blood.
They farm. They farm them, basically. They just hook them up and drain them of blood.
It's pretty creepy.
But vampires got to eat.
But they're running out. What do they do?
What do they do?
What do they do?
They should get some of that True Blood. Over there on the HBO.
Yeah. Maybe they can't find that bar that sells it.
If you'd like to go, I've got five pairs of tickets. Five lucky winners.
We have a winner, believe it or not.
No, we don't. I haven't even said anything yet. Five pairs of tickets to go see Daybreakers during the entire run of its engagement in theaters. So you don't have to go any particular day. You can go whenever you have the time, but you can go for free, which is pretty cool.
We've got Snooki.
We do have Snooki. 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. If you're one of the first lucky five callers, you will get a pair of tickets for Daybreakers.
They do make that noise.
They make the noise.
Yeah.
Love that vampire noise. Today's celebrity birthday is actor Dustin Diamond. He was Screech, don't you know, on Saved by the Bell. 33 years old today. Doug E. Doug, actor and rapper, is 40. Katie Couric, TV personality.
Bless you.
I don't think I've ever sneezed on air before. I think it's my first time.
Wow.
Excuse me. Katie Couric is 53 years old today. David Caruso from CSI Miami is 54 years old today. And Nicolas Cage, actor Nicolas Cage, is 46 years old today. He's got a new movie out called Kick Ass, which I'm looking forward to very much so. If you see the Red Band trailer on the internet, you'll know why. There's an adorable little girl who's got just a potty mouth on her, I'll tell you. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
So that song ended, and then, so now we talk.
Right.
It's the world-famous K-Rock at 9 minutes after 7 o'clock.
We've done a show before, right? I mean, this isn't our first time, right?
I don't remember doing one.
You're listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. We'll catch up with Travis Pastrana in just a few minutes here. Ralph Garman was on fire yesterday when he walked in about a topic that I'd never really given much thought to, but I bet our listeners have if they're involved in a special relationship like the one that Ralph is about to describe.
Well, I was listening to sports talk radio the other morning on the drive-in. That's what I usually do, just to catch up on sports in case I missed anything the night before. And they were talking about a topic that we've talked about before, which is fans who think somehow they can affect the outcome of a game by what they do from the fan end of the equation.
Superstitions.
Right. You're wearing your lucky underwear, you're sitting in a particular spot on your couch, and your team scores, and you don't move, or things that you do that somehow affects the game. And they were talking about that, you know, fan superstitions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And a woman called in to say she was a Dallas Cowboy fan, and her husband was a New York Giants fan.
Uh-oh.
And she said she rubbed her Tony Romo jersey all over his Plexico Burris jersey. And a week later, Plexico Burris shot himself in the thigh at this trip. And she took credit for that action because of the power of her Tony Romo jersey. And as an aside, one of the guys was a former NFL player, said, how does a Cowboy fan and a Giant fan live together in the same house? How do they
same division, right?
And I remember I was screaming at the radio saying, there's no way, no way I would be able to be married to a Giants fan or a Dallas Cowboys fan for that matter because of my passion for the Philadelphia Eagles. We're in the same division, and they're lifelong rivals, hated rivals. There's no way I could coexist with a fan.
You're taught to hate
that
from
team.
A very early age.
Yes.
The other team. So how would you live with somebody like that? Especially, by the way, if your team's not doing well and their team is and they're mouthing off about it all the time, that would drive me out of my mind.
I mean, I could not comprehend. When they were talking about that marriage, I could not comprehend it. I couldn't wrap my mind around it. Might as well have been a guy married to a chrysanthemum. Or, you know, it was like interspecies relationship for me. I could not comprehend it.
I asked Ralph yesterday on the air at the very end of the show. I said, knowing everything you know about your sweet wife, and knowing how much you love her and how glad you are you met and how happy you are to be married to her, if she was coincidentally a fan of the Cowboys, you certainly wouldn't throw her to the curb, right? I mean, she's still the same person that you fell in love with. That wouldn't be a deal breaker.
I would not be married to her if she was a Cowboys fan.
Come on.
I would not be married to her.
Even if she's the right person for
you. I would never know if she's the right person for me because on the first date when she said she was a Cowboys fan, that's as far as it would go. It would be check, please, and that would be the end of it. Nice to meet you. Good luck with your life. F the Cowboys.
But that's not the defining characteristic of a person, sports team they root
for. It's not the defining characteristic. It is a defining characteristic.
It depends on how much of a fan you are.
Well, if you're a real fan or not a fan, that's how it breaks down. If you're a real fan of your team, then it matters. If you're not a real fan, then it doesn't matter what you do, and you might as well just stop following that team.
But
that's
can't you saying. just as many people do who disagree politically say, can't you just agree to disagree? Can't you just say, look, we're never going to come to a consensus opinion on this, but we'll just keep this separate from everything else that we are in agreement on?
No. No.
There's too much room for argument.
And Trenton, this is a whole other topic, but I don't really understand those relationships either about the person who is a right-wing conservative Christian married to a left-wing liberal. I mean, I don't know how they exist on a day-to-day basis.
It does seem like marriage is a difficult enough thing to keep going healthy without that kind of added. You know there's going to be a lot of arguing just based
on that. James Carville and Mary Matlin?
The two political consultants
from just completely diametrically opposed political viewpoints. They've been married for years. I don't know how they exist on a daily basis. But I I could never marry a Giants fan or Cowboys fan.
Couldn't.
We got an email yesterday.
My wife, who's an Eagles fan now.
Right.
By injection.
She has to be.
Exactly. Over the years, she has become an Eagles fan. It's happened before, on a Sunday morning, she'll say, ooh, I don't have a good feeling about the game today. I will stop talking to her. I'll get so pissed off, I'll stop talking to her. I'll walk around in a sulk for hours. And all she has said is, geez, I don't know. I don't know about their chances today. I will get so pissed off, I won't talk to her.
Wow.
Can you imagine what that house would be like if she was saying, go Cowboys?
Yeah.
I thought those of us here at the Kevin Beach Show were the only ones who got sulky Ralph. I didn't know it. Sulky Ralph lived at home, too. Wow. All right, here's an email from a listener that came in yesterday. Unfortunately, his schedule did not permit him to join us on the show. We were hoping he could, but Brad listens to us in Minnesota. He says, hey, Bean, heard your discussion. I am a diehard Packer fan living in Minnesota that's married to a Viking fan. Imagine what this year has been like for me. This Favre crap is killing me.
No.
Packers, Vikings.
Just divorced, right?
No. You don't get to call yourself a diehard Packers fan if you're married to a Vikings fan. You don't get that.
That's one of those rivalries that is one of the biggest. And, of course, with the Brett Favre thing going and leaving there, now he's playing for Minnesota. That does seem impossible.
That's like a 70-year rivalry. That one's not going away. I mean, you're right, Kevin. You mentioned earlier, Dodgers, Giants, Yankees, Red Sox, Steelers, Eagles. I mean, there's a lot of, Lakers, Celtics. There's a lot of rivalries out there that are deep. And those are the people that we're going to be looking for. If you're in a relationship with, or better yet, married to, someone who roots for your mortal sports enemy, we want to find out how you make that work because Ralph couldn't do it, he says.
I can't even comprehend it. I cannot even wrap my mind around it.
It might be hard to get calls on this topic because of what Ralph says. If you're a big enough fan, you don't even give them the chance to sell themselves or to find out what they're like. So you would never get close.
But they're out there. They're out there.
And maybe we'll find some people who it became a deal breaker for. They broke up with somebody who otherwise was great because they found out that they rooted for the wrong, quote-unquote, team.
Well, they are reasonable people
right.
who have their priorities aligned properly.
So call it 1-800-520-1067. But here's the key. You have to really care. It can't just be, I'm kind of a Dodgers fan, so I kind of don't like the San Francisco Giants. Or, you know, whatever. I'm kind of a Lakers fan or Celtics fan, so I don't really. But you don't care a lot, so it doesn't really bother you them. You have to be a passionate fan of one team, and it has to be their arch enemy.
This should be interesting.
How could that ever possibly work? And Ralph was just on the air and off yesterday. He was just on fire.
I can't do it. No way. It's ridiculous. There would have to be physical violence at some point, wouldn't there? Wouldn't it have to just boil up to the point of someone getting hurt? Wouldn't that
Why
have to
can't
happen?
You agree to disagree?
No. It's not about agreeing or disagreeing. It's about being right and being wrong.
Oh, I see.
This isn't politics. This isn't one of those easy issues like abortion or gun control. This is sports.
Yeah, that's true.
All right, let's take one call before the break, and then we'll come back to hear your sports rivalry tales. Please put line 4 on hold for us, if you would. 1-800-520-1067 on the Kevin and Bean Show. How about this? We've got a USC-UCLA relationship,
nope.
Which I imagine something like that, very, very common, and it's Kimberly joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hi, Kimberly. What's up?
Hello, everyone.
Hi.
So you're USC. Yeah.
I'm USC, and I just got a job working at USC within the last 3 months.
Okay.
So you went to USC, and you're working there.
Actually, neither one of us went to the school. We're just huge fans.
Oh, okay.
Okay, but you're still a huge fan.
I'm still a huge fan.
So what happens when you find out that he's a huge UCLA fan?
Oh, you know, we are opposites in everything, so it just kind of goes with the territory, but it makes it perfect for every sport available. Football, basketball,
sure.
Soccer.
Year-round rivalry. It's not just
definitely.
One sport.
Yeah.
But it sounds like I'm just extrapolating based on the few seconds we've talked to you. It sounds like you guys have fun with it, which is the opposite of what Ralph is talking about, which is that it ought to be turning into a blood sport. It ought to be ugly.
No, I have to pick and choose my battles. See, I know that football, we're superior. Basketball, he's
Yeah,
superior.
Well, see, you're not the person we're looking for then.
Well, I mean, she's smart, though, about that, because she's right. You know, USC has been a powerhouse in football, and UCLA has been a powerhouse in basketball, so don't argue it. You know,
yeah,
she's making it work.
Definitely a house divided.
Wow,
definitely.
How about that? All right, thank you, Kimberly, for the call. We appreciate it. We're going to take some more calls in a second. We forgot the Chargers Raiders. We forgot that.
Oh, yeah.
By the way.
That's a good one.
And we have somebody on hold who is in that situation.
Oh,
so.
Boy.
1-800-520-1067. We'll take some more calls next.
Hey!
He doesn't have all night. Make your move.
Do it.
Dude's busy. He's got a schedule, you know?
I love it, too.
It's the world-famous K-Rock at 26 minutes after 7 o'clock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Travis Pastrana in minutes. Talk about his New Year's Eve jump. Also, Morgan Spurlock, the documentary director. Did he win an Oscar? I know he was nominated for an Oscar. Did he win, Ralph? You remember Morgan Spurlock?
I do not remember.
No.
He has a Simpsons television show 20th anniversary special coming up this weekend on Fox. So we'll talk to Morgan on the way. Right now, though, we're talking about sports rivalries that break up relationships or even more curiously, don't break up relationships. Yankees and Red Sox fans who are able to live under the same roof. How is it possible? We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Ralph says he couldn't do it.
Well, you're not a fan, I'm saying, if you can do it. You're not a real fan. That's what
let's I'm go saying. Let's go to Jeremy. He's on line 7. He's got the Raider Charger problem that Kevin described. Hi, Jeremy. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
What's up, guys? What's up, Ralph? Hey, very, very difficult situation. In my particular case, my girlfriend is Hispanic. I am a white male.
Right.
And wouldn't it be, I'm a Chargers fan, hardcore Chargers fan, have been since Seah and Humphreys, and my girlfriend and her whole family is hardcore Raider fans.
Naturally.
Nice. So it must be fun for you at big family events when you get together and you're outnumbered by, you know, 12 to 1 or whatever.
Oh, dude, barbecue.
No, she's Mexican. 40-1,
sorry,
Kevin.
Yeah, 40-1.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, 40 or 50-1. Yeah, that's more like it. Yeah.
So, no, does it get to the point? Does it get to the point that Ralph is talking about, where it's violent because the passions run so deeply with you guys, or are you able to work it out?
Oh, you know, I mean, I think it's fairly decent when games are starting off. I mean, like I said, barbecues are just horrific,
right,
around her family. I mean, it starts off okay, but then a little alcohol gets involved.
That's the way it usually
it
is.
It's crazy.
Probably.
And then all the conversation starts.
Yeah, and then there starts to be the mouthing off. It's usually the alcohol that does, you know, make things much worse when you're in that kind of situation. All right.
And I would say my ultimate comeback is always, I think it's been about, 14 seasons since the Raiders have beat the Chargers.
Oh, no, you did!
Nice.
Yes, I did.
You're no fan, by the way, Jeremy.
He's not a fan?
I'm a total fan.
No, you're not. You're not.
On a side note, Travis Pastrana's jump was amazing.
Well, yeah, we talked to him just a few minutes. Now, Ralph said, why do you say he's not really a Chargers fan, as he
says? Because
if
he's really a Chargers fan, there's no way he could date a girl who is a Raiders fan and whose family is.
So that story disqualifies him from being a hardcore fan.
That's what I'm saying. He thinks he's a hardcore fan, but he's not. Listen, there are a lot of women in the world.
Yeah, but she could
be
way hot.
There's only one team. You got one team.
She could be
one.
Right, but she could be way hot.
Lots of hot chicks in the world. Tons of hot chicks. They make new ones every day.
Yeah.
One team.
Yeah, well, you know what? Honestly, women don't belong in sports anyway, so.
Nice. Thank you for the call, Jeremy. I appreciate it. Dear Kevin and Bita, I'm currently listening to your show via the web at work in New York. You're talking about dating or marrying people that have sports-based rivalries. 100% under no circumstances would I ever consider dating anyone that rooted for Ohio State, even if it was the hottest, smartest girl with the best job ever that makes millions of dollars on top of the million she already has for a family trust. I shudder at the sight of Buckeye gear, and it would kill any need to procreate with that person. 0000 chance. He's a Michigan fan, obviously. So that was just, that's an absolute deal breaker. And he, I guess, Ralph, that's what you appreciate.
Now,
that he,
is a fan. That's a real
he
fan.
He knows going in that it's not a possibility. It doesn't matter what else the person has going on.
That's what I'm talking about.
Let's take one more on the last topic, which is Chargers Raiders. This guy, now we need to rule on if he's a real fan or not as well. Jason, hi.
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Good, thanks.
Okay. Oh, man. I'm a fan.
You're a fan of which team?
I bleed the black and silver.
Okay, Raiders.
I'm a Raider. Okay, it's sad to say this season. I mean, most seasons it's sad to say, but I am a Raider fan.
Okay, all right.
Well, when I met my wife, she wasn't really a fan of anything, but she's one of those girls who likes the colors of the teams, so decided to like the Chargers.
Oh, man.
Yes. I don't think she quite understood the whole, you know, the rivalry thing.
Right, so that's when you have to explain things to her, you know what I'm saying? Explain things to her.
Put your fist down, Ralph.
Yeah. Right. So, anyways, we were at a bar, and we were drinking. It was for, it was actually last season for the Raider game. And we were, of course, losing. And she decided to start cheering for the damn Chargers, and it didn't work out too well for me because she jumped up. They scored a touchdown, and it was a close game, and they scored. And she's jumped up behind me and screamed, and I grabbed my jersey and pulled it. And my reaction was just to turn around and throw my beer in her face. I mean, I wasn't really thinking at the time, like, who pulled my jersey? It was just react and turn and throw my beer, and I got her good in the face. And, I mean, her reaction wasn't as good. Her reaction was to throw a punch, I mean, like a little left jab at me.
Right.
So, I mean, she got me back. I mean, I probably deserved it, but...
See, man. Now, Jason, I would say, is a fan.
I agree.
Because it got violated. That's the mark of a good person.
Because he got blindsided. Because he got suckered. Because in the beginning, she wasn't a fan, and he got roped in, and then she turned on him. So she got what she deserved.
Yeah.
She did.
And just really for the Jason. Colors, by the way, is a ridiculous reason.
Well, that powder blue is pretty attractive to the ladies.
Well, look, at least you've still got a season ahead of you. I mean, you've still got football to watch. Or, excuse me, she still has football to watch. You don't, though. That's the only sad thing.
Right, exactly.
I forgot for a minute that you were rooting for the Raiders. All right, thank you very much for the call. We appreciate it. All right, let's squeeze in one more before we get to Travis Pastrana in the next segment on the Kevin and Bean Show. Let's talk to John. He's on line 8. Hey, John, thanks for hanging on. Welcome. What's going on?
Hey, morning, Kevin and Bean. Morning, Ralph. Morning, Lisa May.
Hey, John. Hi.
So I'm an Angels fan, have been all my life, die hard.
Right.
And I cannot date a girl who is a Yankees fan.
Of course not.
I have tried to date three girls since my ex broke up with me back in April, and she is an Angels fan, so that was great. Three girls since then, and they've all been Yankees fans. As soon as I find out, I break it off. I don't even talk to him anymore.
Good man, John. Dude, good man.
I don't even like baseball, but Yankees to me is the enemy. You know, what I mean, like, I would do that too, and I'm not even a fan of the Angels or Dodgers.
Baseball.
Right.
Their fans are the most obnoxious people in the world, and so I already have my beliefs about fans who don't live in New York or who have never been to New York. I think they're all bandwagoners.
Sure.
It's bad enough my brother is a Yankees fan, so I have to put up with him.
Sure.
I cannot date a girl who is a Yankees fan.
I got you.
Well, I just can't do it. I think that's a good choice.
You're a good American, John.
Mm-hmm. Let's, I know we're running a little bit late. Let's try to squeeze in listener Brad. This is the guy in Minnesota that emailed us.
Oh. The liar.
He's a Packers fan.
The Packers liar.
His wife is a Vikings fan.
Ouch.
Brad.
Hey, Kelly.
Hi.
But Brad, for God's sakes, I mean, the Brett Favre thing had to make it 10 times worse.
I was depressed for, the whole preseason was murder.
But forget Brett Favre. The Packers-Vikings rivalry has been going on for decades.
Well, when we started dating, I asked her if she liked the Packers, and she said, I'm a Brett Favre fan. She never declared.
So she switched allegiances when he left?
Well, she's a QB lady. She loves her Peyton Manning and her Donovan McNabb, but she always...
So she doesn't have a team loyalty. She just follows the quarterbacks.
Well, yeah, but she still has plenty of Vikings gear. So yeah. When they play, we have to watch in separate rooms. And
separate rooms.
our child actually, lucky for me, my parents want him to be a Packer fan, so he's got tons of gear.
All right, yeah. Good.
But he during games he wears a Aaron Rodgers jersey with Vikings Zubas, which I'm hoping he messes someday.
Okay, hey, wow. that's just confusing for the kid. He's not going to know what to believe.
Child has no idea what's going on. Abuse. Well,
I'm going to have to pull him aside one day and just say, "Hey, bud, really, I'd hate to tell you this, but
Ralph, what do you think? Does Brad need to explain things to his wife? Is that what needs to happen?
He needs a divorce lawyer. I know that much. Might as well get your kid a menorah and a Christmas tree. Just finish the job. Just confuse the hell out of the kid.
Thanks for the call. Hector, by the way, gets the last word in the email. Good morning, guys. I'm in the exact same situation. Two words for you. Angry sex. That's how we get through it. Have a good day. All right. Good choice.
Yelling. Bulls are on parade. Got it. Take it easy. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. It is 743.
Travis Pastrana, who admits he has the willingness and stupidity to try anything on a motorcycle. Pastrana flipping out of the gate. Oh! Look at him. He's just showing the crowd. Superman Seagram, Indian Air to nose wheelie. He's revving it up. There it is, the Romeo Air. The first time it's been busted out of my position right here at the X Games. 6'2", beating up on the competition. Travis Pastrana on the Suzuki 125. The world is watching as Travis Pastrana, everybody in this house, is now standing up and cheering on the 199. Go, Travis!
Four consecutive Rally America Championships, 9 X Games gold medals, and he's not done yet. If you saw the jump on New Year's Eve, you know what we're talking about. We're very excited to welcome Travis Pastrana back to the Kevin and Bean Show for the first time in 2010. How are you, man?
Doing awesome, guys. Thanks a lot for having me on.
No worries.
We're just glad you're alive. We've got video of the jump, including some test runs leading up to the jump that are equally terrifying that you did out in the desert. You can go to kevinandbean.com and check that out. Explain to folks what you did, maybe who were partying too hard over the holidays and didn't hear about your latest world record attempt.
Yeah, basically every year Red Bull comes out with all the, you know, their top athletes and says, what can you do that's the furthest outside the box? That's the biggest thing that you hopefully will not die on. And we're going to put you in front of the limelight and New Year's Eve. And this year, I unfortunately won the I guess. And
Travis, I'm
ended
sorry.
Up, jumping a car 269 feet off the Long Beach Pier and onto a barge in the Rainbow Harbor.
I'm sorry to disagree with you because you know more than I do, but I don't think not dying comes into it. I've been watching Nitro Circus, and it looks like... You have a death wish. I think you want to die.
No. It's you know, we've been able to stay alive for quite some time.
I know you have. You're not good at dying, but
no, I suck at that, man.
So
it's all pretty calculated, though. I mean, we've stayed fairly injury free. I mean, yeah, we're a little overconfident and underprepared most of the time. But the great part about the Red Bull thing was it was really calculated. The scary part was that right before I took off, they're like, yeah, the fireman got a little excited and watered down your landing ramp. You're not going to stop.
Yeah, and so all of a sudden you're skidding and sliding all over the place. Why did they do that?
Oh, well, actually, it was a lot of fun. We got a lot of new toys for the law enforcement down there, you know, for all the safety divers and everything. They had a blast down there. It was great. But I don't know. Everyone got a little excited, and when the paint got wet, it was a nice skating rig. I hit there. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah, this is not going to end well. Yeah. I know that you do this stuff this is your life, and you do it successfully. But I have to think, being the pussy that I am, that if I'm in that Red Bull car, and it was a long run up to that ramp, there has to be a second where I think, I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't go through with this. Do you ever have those thoughts anymore?
Almost every day of my life, I think, man, how did I talk myself into this?
Really? You have that little...
Well, you always write down on paper, and you're always like, all right, this is going to be awesome. You know, when you're sitting with your buddies talking about, you know, how cool something's going to be.
Right.
And
then you find yourself in the car, and you realize it is going to be awesome, but it's a little more real than you were thinking at the time.
But you know what's funny? I was watching my landing ramp come floating in on a barge, being pushed in this 100-foot barge next to the Queen Mary, and I'm thinking, they really pulled this off. This was just an elaborate prank to sound really cool.
We are talking to Travis Pastrana on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. There were 75,000 people in the harbor at Long Beach watching this run from Red Bull and Travis on New Year's Eve around 9 o'clock or something like that. And you said in an interview afterward that you felt very calm when you got into the car. That was just based on your preparation, I guess.
Yeah, preparation was great. I mean, I've honestly never been involved with with anything that's been so thought out. I mean, they had lasers and everything just trying to get the landing exactly right. And, I was come up to the landing ramp, though, and I saw come up to the takeoff ramp, and I saw a little TV monitor over to my left that was, you know, for the people that weren't going to be able to get all the way up to watch the jump.
Right.
And I saw the landing ramp had all these marks on it and different stuff. I'm like, man, in the last 3 hours, they've done stuff. I haven't seen any of those marks on the landing ramp. Like, I hope they can move anything.
So you don't even know what they are or if they're helpful or anything.
Travis, let me ask you this. How did you decide on 269 feet? Because if you watch the thing, clearly you made it by a comfortable margin. It could have been a 275 footer. I mean, how did you come up with that particular number?
Yeah, Travis, you didn't go far enough, is what Bean's saying.
I figure between 240 and 250 feet, if I landed in that margin, I would have been able to stop.
So it's the stopping part, not the...
269 was too far.
Yeah. Okay. Here's a little bit of the audio from New Year's Eve.
That was sick.
Man has flown a car. Travis Pastrana on top of the world. Happy New Year. Wow.
What I was really surprised...
I would have known that the mic was still on at that particular...
know that? You didn't know that?
That's funny. That's funny.
Going, woo, woo!
What I thought was really funny, Travis, was that you're out there on the barge that they built for you to land on, and you're all by yourself. I mean, you get out of the car, and you're so used to seeing people run up to you and whatnot. There wasn't even emergency personnel or anybody on that barge, right? You were literally by yourself until you jumped into the water to get rescued.
Yeah, I had a friend that wanted to be standing on the landing to either do a good or no good for the field goal.
Right. Just to let everybody know how it ended.
How come you ended up having to jump into the water? Wasn't there a ladder or something they could have built for you to climb down to get into the boat?
Oh, yeah, I actually had to get back in. I was just really excited. I had a few too many Red Bull, maybe, and then I'll be adrenaline. And I was like, wow, I'm just standing here all by myself. Everyone's looking at me, and I have nothing to do.
What do I do?
I figured a gainer into the,
So you jump into the water, and then you were there logs? I mean, was it a troubled ocean?
Well, that's what I asked the fire guy. I'm like, hey, is it deep?
Is it safe?
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well,
yeah, Travis does a backflip into the water, by the way. That alone would scare the S out of most of us. And he did that after he'd already flown a car.
Here's what I find funny is that the King of Mexico, who works here on the station, he TiVo'd it. And I'm sure you've heard, Travis, what happened. The TiVo was set up to record from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
So you get an hour.
Yeah.
And then you know what time the jump was?
What time?
9:05.
Are you serious?
5 minutes later,
everybody's TiVo cut off.
I'm not sure. Dave's did. His did. He had to go see it, watch it online because he had a full hour, but the jump happened just a little bit after that.
Nice timing, Travis.
Which I love.
Thanks. Well, I had a few people call. They thought it was something with the time delay or the time delay. They just cut it. Then now that makes more sense. They're like, oh, I thought you died or something, man.
Right. All the people that didn't see it thought something went terribly wrong.
That's funny.
That makes sense.
Is a regular rally car race now going to seem pretty simple compared to flying through the air at that height and that distance?
Oh, man, now that was a good time. But honestly, Rally, I mean, you'll be doing 120 with, you know, trees that are just as solid as that barge. And, you'll see a fire break or something up to your right. It's on the snow. There's a cliff on your left. And, you know, he's saying, go left. You're like, oh, here we go, wide open over the cliff, you know. And, you know, there's usually a road on the other side. So I'd say Rally's still pretty fun.
Still exciting, yeah.
All right, real quick, because we know you got to go and we do too. Big plans for 2010? You got a lot of races lined up? Or are you slowing down at all? Or what's your schedule looking like, Travis?
Trying to slow it down a little bit, but I mean, Nitro Circus is just blowing up right now, and everyone had to take a little time off to get surgery and stuff from the TV deal.
To heal?
Down in Australia, doing some of the Monster Jam World Championships as well as the Rally America Championships. So that should all be fun. But today, going to the National Championship game, so it should be a good time.
Oh, yeah.
Have fun.
Yeah, I got to tell you, Nitro Circus, one of my favorite TV shows. Watch every episode. Okay. My mom was over, and she didn't really get it. She's like, what is he doing? What are they doing? Why would they do that? Why would he do that? I was like, mom, this is entertainment. She didn't find it quite as entertaining, but I love it, and I can't wait for the next season.
We've been really looking forward to getting you on this week ever since we saw the jump, Travis. You continue to amaze us and fans around the world, and we wish you all the best in 2010. Let's do it again soon, all right, man?
Thanks a lot, guys. Appreciate it.
Ralph Garman joins us for the Showbiz Beat for a Thursday. Then we'll talk to Morgan Spurlock about his Simpsons 20th anniversary special airing this weekend on Fox. Hey, Ralph.
Sorry, paparazzi
are there.
A lot of photos today. What's going on?
Wow,
Morgan Spurlock is in the hallway.
Is he?
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Real quick, we were talking a couple minutes ago about the rivalry, dating a rival of a sports team.
Correct? Mm-hmm.
You've got a sports team. The person you're dating or married to has a sports team. And how can you coexist? And I said it can't be done.
Right.
I didn't think about the opposite difficulty, which is if you're a person with a sports team and you would like to date someone who likes the same team, if you'd like to have someone, you have that team in common.
Right.
How do you find that person? This email comes from Brenda. She says, do you know how hard it is to find someone to date who is also a Seahawks fan? I guess they are embarrassed to admit it if they are. See, she would like to date a Seahawks fan,
right,
but she can't find one.
Answer, change teams.
Yeah, I guess
she needs to change teams. I know that that's not acceptable if you're a hardcore fan. But the Seahawks.
But the Seahawks. Yeah, you really do.
I mean, really.
You should find a professional football team to root for, right?
She could move to Seattle, maybe. There's lots of them here.
There used to be. There used to be.
That sounds like another big, big sacrifice to make, quite frankly.
Until the team started giving all of the fans the big middle finger.
I will say they...
12th man. 12th man.
They do sell out every game, though. I mean, there is still a lot of support for the Seahawks, despite how bad they are.
Look, a lot of people like pain. Up there,
sure. It hurts. You don't enjoy it. I'll tell you that. Well, you know, my policy. I started halfway through this season. Is I just turn off the game when they're down by 14, and I've saved so many hours in front of the TV this year because almost every game they're down by 14 in the first quarter. I'm out. I can go watch something else.
3.5 quarters. You don't have to watch.
That's right. Another sign you're not a real fan, by the way.
Yeah.
My wife was like, why are we still watching the game? Dallas Eagles Sunday. Why are you still watching the game? You're so furious. They're down 24-0 at this point. Why are you still watching? Because I cannot not watch.
You don't have the
it's
option.
Not an option to not watch the game to the end.
Right.
Can't.
And if, God forbid, some emergency happens or whatever and you can't end up watching it, that's always the game where they have an amazing comeback.
That's my biggest fear.
You see the biggest
comeback in NFL history.
Right.
28 unanswered points.
In 2.5 minutes.
Trash. Yeah, exactly. All right, let's talk showbiz news, shall we? One of Tiger Woods' many whores...
Yes.
Has come forward with a new book that she has written.
Wow, she was fast.
That is some
look, quick writing.
Got to make hay while the sun shines, as they say, Lisa. And Loredana Jolie Ferriolo has written herself a book and has landed a book deal that she ensures will talk about all of Tiger Woods' sexuality. Including his healthy appetite for arranged sex. I guess she means pros.
Okay.
Threesomes.
All right.
The girl next door type he enjoyed. Girl. Girl sex. Okay. And Tiger's relationships with men.
What?
Well, that's new.
That is new.
In the book, Loredana claims to have seen Tiger in gay encounters and having sexual relationships with other men. As well as his love for group sex, that included incidents of Tiger with other men and other women at the same time.
What?
So a lot of sex bombs being dropped on Tig.
No kidding.
Oh. Today.
It's called Tig.
Sure. I don't have time for Tig.
Time for her.
I have no time for her. Wow. So apparently she's got $1 million for this book. And I'm guessing it'll sell. Because it sounds like there's a lot of...
I'm guessing he's going to sue.
Wouldn't it... Don't you get the idea that that gay comment is to sell books?
Yes.
I mean, without that, how interesting is it? Oh, really? He likes to have sex with two women?
But all right. If it was just a book about Tiger's group sex and threesomes and the lurid details of his sex life, I bet you that would sell, too.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't hurt. Don't get me wrong. But no, I think any book that said, I will give you the details of his sexual escapades would be a bestseller.
It does make sense, considering that he golfs. You know what
true,
I mean?
That's right. Let's not confuse golf with something straight men do.
Right, exactly.
How come you never got married?
Because I like meat too much.
There you go. There's the problem.
Wow. You guys know who Christopher Lee is? Sir Christopher Lee?
Sure.
No.
British Dracula. Actor. British actor who played Dracula in many movies. Did a lot of horror movies. Was a James Bond villain. He played the man with the golden gun in the James Bond movie. He was Count Dooku in the most recent Star Wars movies. He was one of the Sith Lords.
Oh, I do remember who that is.
Yes.
He's been an actor for a long, long time. Very prestigious British actor. He's been around for a long time. I just found this odd that he has announced he is recording his first heavy metal album.
Yes.
Guys, in his 80s. He's a British actor in his 80s recording his first heavy metal album.
That's the best news I've ever heard.
It is based on the Roman Emperor King Charlemagne.
Aren't they all?
And will feature heavy metal guitars, bass, drums, and will also be backed up by a symphony orchestra. It'll be released in March. It's called Charlemagne, By the Sword and By the Cross. And it sounds awful, but I can't wait to hear it now.
I think a lot of the best heavy metal is made by folks in their 80s, though.
I
think
do
that's
too.
That's well established.
Especially when it's a concept piece about Charlemagne. Struck me as, like, it was like Mad Libs reading this story. It was like, all right, give me an old actor, Christopher Lee. Give me a famous emperor, Charlemagne. Give me a type of music, heavy metal. You just put it all into one story.
That is
I'm in.
Bizarre on every level.
It was all very strange to me. Tony Shalhoub, of course, played Monk for many years in the TV series. Yeah. He's out there saving lives, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Tony Shalhoub. Here we go, like celebrities do.
I'm sure he is.
Well, this isn't a person's... life. He was driving down the road and saw what he thought was a hurt dog. Pulled over, scooped up the hurt dog in his jacket and took it to the vet. It turned out it was a coyote.
Really?
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But apparently the coyote had a broken leg that the vet reset and bandaged, and they're going to release it back into the wild, Tony says.
Well, that's cool.
All right.
I don't know. Do we need any more coyotes?
No!
They'll probably take it someplace where... won't be close to people.
Tony said he's going to take it in the wild, and apparently the rest of the story is as he did, and went for his throat and killed
him. Wouldn't that be awesome if it turned on him and just killed him after that?
He kind of deserved it if he puts a coyote in his car. He's kind of asking for it.
But he thought it was a dog.
Sure.
That's all I'm saying. Today's celebrity birthdays, Kenny Loggins is 62 years old today.
Come on.
I'm just saying.
How does he still make the list?
Because he's Kenny Loggins. Because Footloose. Makes you cut loose.
One of the gayest songs.
Another reason he makes the list.
Definitely.
I'm All Right from Caddyshack. Remember the little gopher dancing at the end of Caddyshack? I'm All Right. Come on, Kenny Loggins.
I'm saying we might want to let go of his birthday.
I don't know.
Just saying. Who else you got?
King of Mexico put him on there. You know Kenny Loggins is somebody when the King of Mexico puts him on there.
He was thinking of Kenny Lofton. Yeah. He's confused.
Yeah.
That was a baseball player.
I'm sure he thought it was Kenny Lofton.
Because there's no way the King knows who Kenny Loggins is.
He thought it was Kenny from South Park. So that's why he put it on there.
They keep getting better. Anyone else have it, Kenny? Yeah. You want to top
that
one with?
At least mine was close, Kevin.
Kenny Rogers? Anybody else? David Bean,
stop typing.
Are you mad at your computer?
Damn it!
No, I'm not.
Kenny.
No, I'm not. I'm conducting some business here.
Bean, wow. I have been turning your microphone down
all morning.
All morning because of your angry fingers.
It's like that scene in Up in the Air. Are you angry at your keyboard? No, I type with purpose. You're just
I am multitasking. I'm sorry. I'm a very busy man.
Wow.
I'll try to quit.
Katie Couric, anchor for the evening news on CBS, is 53. Doug E. Doug is 40 years old today. Dustin Diamond from Saved by the Bell is 33. And actor Nicolas Cage, one of my favorites, is 46 years old today. If you go to kevinandbean.com, David King of Mexico has set you up with a great website we love called Nicolas Cage as Everybody, where it's photos of Nicolas Cage photoshopped in onto bodies of other people.
And it's done well. So
it's done amazing. One of the pictures we've got is Sarah Palin with John McCain, only it's Nicolas Cage as Sarah Palin. And it's freaking remarkable.
It looks good.
And it's my favorite website now ever, so you should check it out.
I think he's hotter than Sarah Palin.
I think he may be. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
And now, it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
Yeah, not even an accident. I mean, it's not even... You don't do it on purpose. You also don't make accidents. You know, you have to do it like they say.
What? That was A Moment with Kevin.
That was on the radio. People heard that.
That's one of your best ever.
Yeah,
you got paid to be that guy.
Welcome to 2010.
I came correct with that one. It is 12 minutes after 8 o'clock.
You are listening to the Kevin Abede Show. It's Thursday. We are always excited to welcome our next guest, Mr. Morgan Spurlock, on the phone. We've had him on to promote every movie he's ever done since the first one, for which he was nominated for an Oscar for, Supersize Me. And he is back with a television special that looks so awesome that airs this weekend on Fox as we celebrate The Simpsons' 20th anniversary. Morgan, welcome back to the Kevin Abede Show. How are you?
Guys, thanks for having me back.
Great to talk to you. How'd you get the gig doing this retrospective on The Simpsons? Because you're a Simpsons fan number one, or just because they knew you were a good director?
Well, I don't know. It's like literally out of the blue, they called me, and I think I just got very lucky. They said, we would love for you to do this. We don't want anybody else to make the special, and as the comic book guy would say, I think it's the best gig ever.
Yeah. What's different about it is a lot of shows do retrospectives. A lot of shows they'll get to their 100th episode or something like that, and they'll do a look back and they'll play clips and whatnot. You guys are really going the extra mile to actually turn it into a kind of a nationwide conversation about what The Simpsons have meant to us over 20 years, right?
It was great. You know, when I first sat down with, Matt Groening and Jim Brooks and Al Jean, kind of the think tank masterminds that have been, behind the show for 20 years, all of them said, we don't want this to be just like a clip show, glad hand, pat us on the back special. And so we really tried to do something different, and we travel around the world, we meet the fans. Like, literally, the two folks that I think are important to this show and that have kept this thing going for so long are the writers, the guys who have kept it smart and funny and relevant for 20 years.
Right.
And then on the other side of that are the fans, the people who literally for two decades have made this, an integral part of their lives.
Here's a clip of you talking to one of the Simpsons fans.
Yeah.
So I hear you have a Milhouse tattoo.
I do.
Has a Milhouse tattoo.
Oh, my God.
Has a tattoo of Milhouse.
Yeah, Jensen is a super fan. You know, as he says in the special, he goes, "Yeah, as a Jewish kid growing up with divorced parents, who do you have to idolize?" And for me, that was Milhouse.
All shows, if they're lucky enough to be on the air for a long time, they have an arc where they are popular and then they are white hot popular on the cover of all the magazines, and everybody is nationally obsessed with it, and the merchandise all comes out, and then most shows cool off. And of course, The Simpsons is. Maybe not on the tip of everybody's tongue, but it's still a hugely successful and influential program, right?
It's amazing. I think what's happened with The Simpsons, which I think is a really cool thing that's happened with it, is that literally you have people who have kind of passed this show on. It's like, I grew up watching this show in college.
Right.
And I have friends of mine who they were watching it with their parents, and now, these people are starting to have kids, and they're watching it with their kids. It's become like this multi-generational show that there's something for everybody in it. And I think that's just an incredible thing. That's a rare occurrence in television.
This is their 450th show, I want to say, right?
Yeah, the 450th episode, which is remarkable. Now the show's been on longer than Gunsmoke, than MASH, than Ozzie and Harriet. So the 450th episode will air this Sunday at 8, followed by the 20th anniversary special.
You talk to people all the time that are in – we do interviews with people that are in TV and stuff. And by the time they get to the 100th episode
– right.
I mean,
they're creatively spent.
They've exhausted everything that they could ever possibly come up with.
Yeah.
How do the Simpsons writers continue 450 episodes in?
Yeah, and I think the beauty of that show is that literally by being animated, one, the characters never age. They're never getting a day older. And two, since it's animated, you can go anywhere. They can go to space. They can go to the desert. Like every week, they don't.
Right, but that's two. Now you got 448 more to go.
Well, luckily, I'm not one of the writers. You see, that's why. I would have been out after two episodes.
And they also, and I know a lot of the people on the show have been there for a long time, but they also have had some turnover, and they'll bring in new people who have good ideas too,
which I think is a big thing. I think they have continued to hire the smartest writers, and it is one of those things. As much as it's a badge of honor to be someone who's on the show, like to get drawn and be a character on The Simpsons,
right.
I think to be a writer on The Simpsons means that you really are one of the most gifted writers in television.
This is Morgan Spurlock we're talking to, who has directed The Simpsons 20th anniversary special in 3D on ice, it's called, that airs at 8:30 this Sunday on Fox after the 400 150th episode. You know, I got a little bit jealous, Morgan, when I heard you talk about how you got to sit down with Matt Groening. The Kevin and Bede Show came on the air within a few weeks of the first Simpsons episode. Right. We've been on the air almost exactly as long as The Simpsons has, yet we've never been able to get Matt Groening on the show, even though we've asked for him 1,000 times. He just doesn't do that many interviews. How was he with you, and what did you learn from getting a chance to talk to him?
I mean, he is just still, you know, with all the success the show has had, he is still just one of the greatest, just down-to-earth people who looks at just this opportunity that he was given to create something that just has transcended popular culture. I mean, it is a global phenomenon now. You can't travel anywhere in the world and turn on a television that The Simpsons aren't on. And you know, to see this guy who literally will take the time to, like, draw a character for anyone who asks him or give an autograph to somebody, I mean, he's one of the good ones.
If you stop him on the street and ask him to draw you one of the characters, he'll do that?
If you say, hey, can I get an autograph, like, he will literally stop and, like, sign his name and draw a character of Bart and, you know.
Wow.
It's remarkable.
And he won't talk to us.
Yet he won't talk to Kevin and me.
You know, anybody else?
You know, in
you should just follow him around and say, hey, could you sign an autograph? Yeah. By the way, could you speak into my lapel?
Right. By the way, here's a testament to how big the Simpsons are. In May of last year, May 2009, they came out with Simpsons postage stamps.
Yeah, amazing.
Bart Simpson on a stamp.
Bart Simpson on a ride at Universal Studios.
Yeah,
you know,
it's ridiculous.
There's a guy who built the Simpsons house in Las Vegas. I mean, it's incredible.
So the special is, again, 8:30 on Sunday night, the Simpsons 20th anniversary special in 3D on ice. And you talk to crazy fans like this one.
Why you are such a fan of The Simpsons.
It's funny, and it's smart, and it's social satire. My personal favorite song is the Mr. Plow theme song.
Call Mr. Plow, that's my name, that name again is Mr. Plow.
I've done 7 interpretations of the Mr. Plow theme song.
This is a really embarrassing old-school hip-hop version of Mr. Plow.
Say, what's the name? Mr. Plow. What's the name? Mr. Plow. Say, what's the name?
Okay.
It's awesome.
The fans have gone bye-bye.
And that was Moby. Moby has done 7 different interpretations of the Mr. Plow theme song, which these are all launching on the web today. We're putting these out for people to listen to. And, you know, it's like he's done a punk rock version, a psychedelic version. It's amazing.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah, well, cool. We can't wait to see the show. I mean, there's certainly a lot of different angles to approach The Simpsons. It sounds like it's a terrific special. It airs at 8:30 this Sunday night on Fox right after the 450th episode, Once Upon a Springfield. Morgan, always great to catch up with you on The Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks for coming on.
Guys, thanks again for everything. I'll talk to you soon.
You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Thursday. Our friend Miss Cleo has joined us in studio. Miss Cleo, of course, is the one who answers the phones when you call anytime during the show at 1-800-520-1067, and she fails. That's what you need to know about Cleo.
I wouldn't say that she's dumb either, but
she's not dumb. Miss Cleo's not dumb.
I wouldn't say that.
Okay.
But there's something there, right? But I think it's naive is what I think.
Well, she's got blinders on this particular topic, and that's why we wanted to talk about this. Psycho Mike, why don't you set this up? Because you actually interacted with this Cleo and her quote-unquote date over the holidays, right?
At the party we talked about a couple days ago where I cleared the club with Omar and we offended half the people,
right.
Miss Cleo showed up, and she showed up with a really handsome, really likable, nice guy that none of us had ever met before. And we were all pretty positive that that was going to lead to some booty because they were both smashed by the time they left. I made sure of it by buying them shots and stuff.
Right.
And we come to find out that I guess that's not the case.
And that, I don't understand that, because I know that, you know, for a fact that in the waning months of 2009, Miss Cleo was in a little bit of a dry spell. And I thought, well, good for her. She found a dude and she hooked up with over the holidays. It sounds like things are looking up. But Miss Cleo, you came in afterwards and said, no, that wasn't the case. Nothing happened. Why?
He's my really good friend. And that's not the first time I've brought him around.
Okay, but
it's the first time I had met him.
Okay, but here's the thing. And here's the conversation that we had, which is, did he try? And you said, no, we're friends.
Because he's her friend.
Right.
And you say that, and girls say that as if the amount that you want to be friends and not more is equal for guys and girls. And that's just not the case. You may think you're friends, but Henry is spending every waking minute, if he's half the man I hope he is, trying to figure out how to convert that.
No, he's not.
He's trying to figure out how to get a first down on this is what he's doing right now.
You don't think he has any interest in having sex with you?
No.
Is he gay?
No.
Okay, not possible.
Really? So you're suggesting that any guy that hangs out with any girl and they're not having sex, it's only because he hasn't figured out a way to make that happen?
Yes.
I have tons of guy friends.
I'm going to go with yes on that.
That is absolutely not
and
true.
And all
about.
Of those guy friends are trying to figure out how to get in
no.
your... Oh, please! You're as naive as she is! What's happening?
Especially in this case with Miss Cleo in her early 20s, and I assume Henry is about the same. They're both single. There's no way that Henry isn't cursing your name every single night after he drops you off, that it's not going anywhere, Cleo. You can't believe that he sincerely is happy just being friends when you've got those.
I don't get why this is such a big issue. Because
you're dumb.
I'm sorry. No, she's not dumb. We've already established she's not dumb.
You're naive. I'm sorry.
There have to be men out there.
There aren't. Yes, Psycho Mike.
Well, what they don't understand is that the two don't have to be mutually exclusive. You can be friends with a girl, and you can really want to have sex with a girl, and you can also really want to have sex with a girl that is your friend,
right,
which is the case right here.
And you can also never act on the impulse to have sex with her and just be friends. That's possible. But it doesn't mean
that they don't want to have sex with
her. Isn't still there. And if you said to him that night, hey, let's do it, you think he would go, nah, no thanks.
Maybe, I don't know.
Or no, I don't want to because we're friends. That's what it seemed to me you were saying yesterday, is you think that he wouldn't be interested in anything more because he considers you a friend just like you consider him a friend. And that's where I'm telling you, you're wrong.
I don't think I am.
All right, well, we've got Henry on the line. Let's find out what the real deal is here. Henry, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good,
hi,
thanks.
Henry.
Thanks for joining us. So you and Miss Cleo been hanging out for how long?
What, about six? I feel about probably this whole last year.
Yeah, it's been about a year.
Last year, okay.
Why haven't you hit that?
I have been barking up that tree for about 6 months now.
That's okay. What we're saying. Thank you.
That's our point.
She pulls out the friend card on me.
That's our point exactly.
That's
thank
our point,
you,
and
Henry.
That's why we're saying that she's naive.
Wait,
because
I think Henry is changing his tune because he doesn't want you guys to call him names.
No, honestly, I saw them interacting, and I believe Henry. I mean, I got the sense that he was ready for some action, and it just didn't. He didn't. I maybe want to cross any boundaries that it would offend Cleo.
Yay!
But if you asked him.
Right. Maybe he values your friendship enough that he doesn't want to ruin it. But that doesn't mean that it's not there.
Any clue from him? No.
Well, you're naive.
Or Henry's not very good at clues.
Henry, are you good at clues?
No, Henry's very good. He's got lots of little lady friends that,
what's
the deal, Henry?
I know exactly how to get her hot and ready, you know. But
every time
I go out with you guys, she's not able to drink.
But hold on a second, Henry. Hold on a second. Because the night that Mike is talking about where you guys were at the club, she was smashed. And Mike, didn't you find out after the fact that they ended up spending the night together or something? Or she passed out? Or what happened?
They drove home together. Yeah.
And then she passed out.
Am I correct? Did you pass
out? And then I drove home eventually.
In the car.
And then we were joking, clearly. I mean, I run a charity for abused women and children, so this is not serious. But we were like, if she passes out, she wakes up sore. I mean,
that's your job, Henry.
All you have to do at that point is yell surprise. Let's be honest.
That's how it works. That's expected.
Why can't a girl just be friends with a guy and not sleep with them?
You can.
Like all of my guy friends.
You can. But all of your guy friends wouldn't mind.
I'm gonna go with no.
Well, then you don't understand. You're wrong, Cleo. Even Henry is telling you that you're wrong. Look, Henry, let's just put it out there. If you had the opportunity to hit that, you would, right?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, that's all we're saying.
Now, let me ask you this in all seriousness. Are you just being funny?
No.
You're not.
I'm definitely. Oh, no. I've been trying every time. And I actually, at Acoustic Christmas, I thought I came pretty close, you know. Only ruined the whole thing.
Wait, Bean ruined it?
Bean?
Well, what did I do, Henry? How did I remember meeting you at Acoustic Christmas? What did I do?
I met Bean for the first time. I met up at the hotel with Bean and Miss Cleo. First thing he tells me, first thing that comes out of his mouth is, Henry, I'm trying to decide whether you're gay or not.
Well, that's right. I do remember now. You do come off a little fruity, but I take you at your word if you say that's not the case.
If that's the first thing he says, by the way, you're putting out a pretty strong vibe.
He is putting out a pretty strong vibe. I mean, he is just I know exactly who you're talking about now, and Psycho Mike is right. He's a good-looking, clean-cut, well-put-together guy.
Very
I mean,
gay.
At the time, I thought may not be gay, but he's telling me that he's trying to get with Miss Cleo. I got to believe him. I can't believe Miss Cleo doesn't know that or see that.
How bad is Henry at making moves? He says good.
Not bad at all. Okay. He got a girl that night at Acoustic. He got some girl's number.
Somebody else. He's like, oh, forget her.
At a concert.
But then how blind are you to the fact that he's been trying for a year and you told us yesterday, no interest whatsoever.
I've always been bad about this.
Really?
Here's the thing that you, Lisa and you need to understand. You said, why can't a girl just be friends with a guy and not have sex with him? Girls can. Ugly girls. Ugly and fat girls.
Are you calling me ugly?
No, I'm saying those are the girls that you don't want, that are your friends that you don't have sex with. Ugly girls. And you and Lisa need to understand that that's never going to be
that's
you.
That's not the case.
That all your male friends, in quotes, are thinking about how they can get in bed with you.
And I'm going to put it, I'm going to put the...
Lisa's
shaking
her head no.
I don't think I can think of two guys right off the bat that I'm friends with.
You're wrong. Is what I'm telling you first.
If we brought them on the air, Lisa, they would say the same thing Henry does, which is, yeah, we're friends and it's not going any further because that's what Lisa wants. But I would hit that.
There are a lot of guys, and by the way, married guys have to do this all the time. You see somebody, you think, hey, wow, I'd like to have sex with her, but you don't act on it.
Yeah, because you're married.
It doesn't mean that your friends, Lisa, and your friends, Miss Cleo, don't have the desire. And you
but
guys,
I've been friends with these people when I was single, when they were single.
Right.
Not a word.
They have no game.
Maybe they have no game, no confidence. Doesn't
I
mean.
I think no interest.
No. If they're straight, they have an interest in having sex with you.
Don't make That's me a, change the word line. From naive back to dumb. Don't make me do it. Come on, really, both of you. Come on, wake up.
So any woman
hey,
who's attractive,
up.
Any woman who's attractive, you want to have sex with.
Yes! Yes! What is it about that that you don't understand?
And frankly, Miss Cleo doesn't have enough else going on to just want to be friends with her. Let's be honest. I'm just being serious here. Who's going to hang out and be friends with Miss Cleo?
Why are you such a dick?
What?
Why are you a dick?
I'm just telling the truth
here.
Yes,
Ralph.
Bean may have a point.
Oh my God.
Listen,
that's a lot coming from Ralph.
Here is the disconnect between men and women. Women can't wrap their heads around this because they don't realize that because a guy wants to have sex with you as a friend doesn't necessarily mean he wants to date you or be in a relationship with you. That's where women have the disconnect.
That's correct, yes.
If he really wanted to be with me, he would ask me out. We would start dating. We would go out and have dinner. And we would go to the movies. No, we're just saying he wants to bang you.
Right.
What he would like to do is bang you and then go back to just being pals and hanging out and not have any emotional baggage that goes along with that sex.
Oh.
Most guys realize that isn't an option with most women.
That's not how women are wired.
Right, because they're all hooked
for the most part.
So he knows if he does get some from you, he's got to pay the price of having to be nice to you and spend time with you and have dinner with you and call you and you got to spend time together. And that's not what he wants with you. He made that with other women, but he doesn't want that with you in particular.
Exactly. Thank you, Ralph.
So
you articulated that so
me,
well.
Ralph,
well
said. Just wants to hit it and quit it.
Yes, he wants to have sex with you, but he doesn't want to deal with your insane BS.
Right, but remain friends.
But stay friends.
He likes you enough. He likes you enough.
He likes you enough to be your friend. He absolutely wants to hit it, but then he also wants to just stay friends so he can still date other girls and find a girl he would really like to spend time with as a girlfriend.
My soul has been beaten.
Sorry, so now that you know, we're out of time, but now that you know, he's been trying for a year.
But I'm saying, well, you've got a vacancy at the inn.
Right.
And you're really not busy with anything these days. Why not take advantage of a nice guy like Henry and just have a temporary occupant?
You've got no occupancy right now.
Yeah.
I think Ralph has suggested a solution that I think is a win-win for everybody involved. Henry, are you in?
Definitely. Actually, we're going out tonight.
All right.
Miss Cleo, it's up to you now. Make it happen.
You got a report tomorrow.
It's going to happen tonight.
All right.
Henry. Bye, Henry.
Well, thanks, Henry.
We'll tell you how it goes tomorrow. Thank you.
Around, I was looking down at all I see.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 844.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Quite an upset in sports last night. No matter where you live, you have to appreciate any team that can beat the world champion Los Angeles Lakers. And last night, it was their crosstown rivals, the Clippers. Hi, Dave, the King of Mexico.
Clippers! Yeah!
Dave is a Clipper fan.
And inexplicably.
Inexplicably. And every year he records a song at the beginning of the year, and it's always so hopeful. It's just, this is the year, we're going to go to the playoffs, and then we're going to go to the championship. Get rings. He's always so excited about it. And then they kick him right in the balls. Because they're a bad
Where
team.
Are the Clippers in the rankings right now, Dave? I haven't really been paying that close attention.
Well, they're two games under 500, so they're
in
about...
In what place?
In the conference, maybe 10th.
10th. You got to be 8
or 11th.
To be
you
got
to be
8
to make
okay,
the playoffs.
Okay, so that's makeable.
Yes.
Makeable.
But
We're in striking distance.
But they have been improving. They've won 5 in a row at home. And last night, after losing the last nine meetings against the Lakers, last night they beat them pretty good, right?
Yeah, it was a great game.
Yeah, it easy, beat them pretty good.
Well, they won by 11, but it was a lot closer than the score shows. But, the way the Clippers played, it shows potential, and it's that's why I'm so excited about this win. Not because it was a fluke win, it's because the Clippers played like the Clippers should be playing, and they showed off all their talents and they kicked some ass.
Take it easy.
Yeah.
So Dave
was at the game, right?
Yes, Dave was at the game.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He's been trying to get us to play his Clipper song every day. Play the Clipper song. Hey, why don't you play the Clipper song? We go, no one wants to hear it. So he started calling the Afro line last night from the game. He was at Staples Center.
Okay.
And here's his report.
Kevin Dean, what up? It's Dave Keo Mexico here at the Lakers versus Clippers. And tonight's the night. Clippers, baby, we're going to take out the champ. Suck it, Kevin. Suck it, Mike. Here we come, you know, Clippers run this town.
Clippers are up 6-0. Woo! That's right, we're gonna run this town.
Clippers! It's at the half, and the Clippers are up by 9! Suck it! Clippers run this town.
Clippers!
Clippers! Woo! Lakers! Lakers! Suck it, Lakers! Woo! I can't believe it! I knew it all!
By the way, that's Dave. I don't know if you recognize him because that doesn't sound like Dave.
You usually don't hear that animated. I love the crowd goes wild. There's not a single sound within 100 miles of that phone except for Dave yelling into it.
By the way, I was on the concourse when I made that call, so, you know.
So there should have been noise?
There should have been sound.
See, this is what's awesome about the series of Afro calls you left for the game is you had no expectation, really, that the Clippers were going to beat the Lakers. When you called, that was just you being Dave. Calling just tried to fake some enthusiasm that they had a chance. You must have just been over the moon when they actually ended up winning the game.
You know, I was watching the Laker game two nights ago, and I was like, man, tomorrow's going to be a tough game. And you know, I was hoping that the Clippers would just hang in there and show that they're, you know, they're coming up, you know. And like I said, they just played awesome, and they kicked some ass. They showed energy, and they shut down Kobe. It was so great to be there.
Yeah. Wow. Good work for that one game.
Yeah.
What was the bet you made yesterday with the King?
Just that we would play the song.
Yeah.
Okay.
So here's, I haven't quite finished him calling, but this is the end.
Oh, there's more. Okay.
Can you feel it in the air?
Yeah.
Change is coming, are you scared?
Nope.
I'm addicted to this team.
I'm ready.
Red, white, blue is all I need.
What's up?
Can't be scared when we are down.
Uh-huh.
Know that things will turn around.
That's right.
Only thing that's on my mind.
What up?
Will the Clips run this town tonight?
Clippers!
Will the Clips run this town?
CLIPPERS. This is Clipper Nation. Pledge your allegiance. Put your jersey on. Put on anything. Represent the Clippers all day, every day. Our fans are not stars, not Kardashians. I'll talk more than just about anyone. This is my familia. Blake can be a savior, but for now, let me get back to my rager. Baron brings it down and then lights it up. Dancing Daryl gets the crowd going and all pumped. And yeah, I'm saying bingo. When we get those threes flowing, ready or not, you become a fan before you even know it. Hold up. Yep.
Candy and Gordon will lead us there.
That's right.
So keep doing what you do.
What?
And your friends will stick by you.
Word.
Victory is in our grasp.
Yeah.
About time we kick some ass.
Right.
Only thing that's on my mind.
Yeah.
Will the Clips run this town tonight?
Let's go. Upon us, and every year I say this is the year, but you know what, this is it. This is the year where we make a run at the NBA championship. Big shout out to Blake Griffin, Baron Davis, Eric Gordon, Marcus Camby, and everyone else on the team. This is Dave, the King of Mexico, representing the Clipper Nation forever. What's up?
How's Blake been doing?
Oh, he has a good view of the game.
He does, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Do you think Clipper Nation, do you think that's might be a little bit of an overstatement?
Clipper Nation, baby. We're here.
By nation,
we loud.
You mean like...
We loud.
You mean like 1,000 people.
Doesn't matter.
That's what you mean
when
you say nation.
Nation.
All right. Okay.
Just wait till we get LeBron.
Yeah, he's going to come to the...
Hey, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
You know that
I think with Dave and the Clippers and the Lakers.
Yeah.
Gives me hope.
For
this weekend, for the my Philadelphia Eagles versus the Dallas Cowboys. If the Clippers can beat the Lakers, anything can happen in sports,
good
right?
Point. Anything. But getting up for a game like that, you know what I mean? It's like you're playing a retarded team. You just go, well, we don't know.
Right. So you figure the Lakers at 50% should be able just to mop the floor with them, right?
Yeah, sure.
Shouldn't you figure?
Yeah. So you're saying you're
saying anything is possible.
You're saying the Eagles, you want to record a song? We'll play tomorrow.
Yeah. Eagles, yo, what's up? I'll pass. Let's take a look at the showbiz news. Speaking of sports, shall we? Apparently one of Tiger's whores has got herself a book deal. The headline from PerezHilton.com says, Tiger swings his club both ways?
What?
The book claims that Tiger not only had sex with arranged sex dates with ladies, threesomes with the ladies, girl-girl action with the ladies, but apparently was a real fan of group sex that led to incidents of Tiger having sex with other men. She claims, this is Loredana Jolie Ferriolo is her name, that...
She's on Jersey Shore?
Tiger had gay lovers, as well as the many, many women that he enjoyed. So,
now, this is the first time we've heard any allegations of him crossing putters with another dude, right?
As far as I know, yes.
See what Bean did?
Just desperate to get the crossing putters joke out. That's what I'm guessing.
Yeah, I don't buy it either.
Although I have seen him wash balls at the course.
Yes, Windermere, Florida, in our subdivision.
That's not the clip I wanted at all. I wanted this one.
What happened?
Thank you very much.
Why would you even have the other clip talking about subdivisions?
That's the original 911 Tiger Woods call.
I know. We don't need that anymore. All we need is what happened.
We need this.
Hey,
oh, yeah.
It's
slow jam.
It's Tiger.
Hey, Tiger.
You can do my huge favor.
Tim. Paul.
Fred.
Please.
Harry.
Can you take your name off your phone? My wife is on my phone and maybe call. Take your name off your phone.
Jim.
You gotta do this for me.
Harlan.
Just have it as a number.
Your body's moving and your senses are more heightened.
All right, I don't know. Harlan. I don't know. I don't know.
Harlan.
How does that name come to my head?
Harlan Specter? Jane Krakowski from 30 Rock. She's very funny on that show.
Very talented, yeah.
She's good, yeah.
She's engaged. She and her designer boyfriend, Robert Godley, apparently got engaged over the holidays. Godley is the co-founder of Psycho Bunny Menswear.
Never heard of that.
With Psycho Bunny.
It's good stuff.
Of course it is. Thanks, Psycho Mike, for chiming in on the, he would know. On the menswear.
It's called Psycho Bunny?
Yeah, they have a pretty, like...
Is the word bunny in
bunny.
It?
Bunny, yes, like Easter Bunny.
They have a pretty recognizable emblem of, like, a bunny's face. You know, sometimes it'll have, like, a pirate's eye patch.
Bunny does.
Yeah.
Okay.
Skull and crossbones behind it.
Yeah, right, sure.
We got it. We got it, GQ. We got the update on fashion. Thanks so much. Speaking of relationships, David Hasselhoff ending his relationship with America's Got Talent. He will no longer be a judge on that show after 4 years. He has announced... Dave thanks everyone at NBC and the producers who gave him a shot, but he said he's following his dream to do his own TV show, and that's what's up next for the Hoff.
This is a mess.
Oh, I like that TV show.
My own TV show. I guess he means Celebrity Rehab. That's what I'm guessing.
Oh, how awesome would that be?
That would be awesome.
The best. I don't know if you saw seen the highlights from this season, Celebrity Rehab, with Mackenzie Phillips?
No. I'm not.
And Mindy McCready, the country western star, who has a full-blown seizure on the floor of the dorm while while poor Mackenzie Phillips runs around trying to find a nurse.
Oh,
Mindy McCready's going, arr, 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 just flailing around.
Oh, my God.
It was pretty awesome. Yeah, it's good.
Pretty awesome.
I mean, you know, no, as awesome as that
pretty awesome.
Get. That's all I'm saying. And congratulations to James Cameron and Avatar. Not only is it the quickest a movie has ever reached $1 billion in box office sales, but it also now has the honor of being the most downloaded movie of all time in the quickest period of time. Fastest pirated movie on the internet.
I was going to say, it hasn't been available yet.
Avatar was downloaded 500,000 times within the first 48 hours of its release. Since then, the number has risen to 980,000 times.
Wow.
It was the fastest pirated movie on the internet.
Well, you got to look at that and go, that's, you know, dollars that some people would have been spending to go see it in theaters, right?
It's funny because James Cameron said in an interview with the Times of London before the movie was released that the movie was immune to piracy because it was shot in 3D.
Yeah.
He figured no one would be interested in seeing a movie that was shot in 3D if you couldn't get it in 3D when you pirated, but apparently he was wrong.
Because you can see it in without 3D, too. It's
right.
Showing in theaters.
He said you can pirate a 3D movie, but you can't pirate it in 3D.
Right.
So you cannot bottle that 3D experience, but apparently people like Kevin just don't care.
How yeah, dare
they
you.
Just want it for free, right?
I win, and I paid my money.
Put their illegal downloads on their computer. Then
I think
don't make me bring my sheriff friend back in here, Kevin.
Please don't. I think box office projections are tonight. It moves into the number two all-time worldwide box office spot.
There you go. So that means he's got the top two. As of
is that incredible?
Titanic and Avatar.
Man.
Today's celebrity birthday is David Caruso from CSI Miami. He is 54 years old today.
We've got Snooki.
I don't know what that means. Katie Couric is the host, if you will, anchorwoman, I guess, of CBS Evening News. 53 years old today. Dougie Doug, rapper and actor, is 40 years old. Dustin Diamond celebrates his 33rd birthday today. He was Screech on Saved by the Bell. You guys threw him out of the studio, didn't you?
One of the two people we've ever had to throw out.
Yeah.
Had to throw him out.
One was a Scientology leader, and the other one was Screech.
Rare company right there.
To show you.
Not leader, but spokesman for Scientology. Yeah.
If there was leader, you wouldn't have thrown him out.
No.
He just would have beamed out of here.
That's right.
Awesome. And Nicolas Cage, one of my favorite actors. He is 46 years old today. If you want to see something fun, go to kevinandbean.com. We've got set up Nicolas Cage as Everyone, which is a website where Nicolas Cage's face has been photoshopped into celebrity photos around the world, including Captain Sully Sullenberg, by the way, the guy who landed the liner on the Hudson. Nicolas Cage playing him in the photo as well. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. I'm very excited to catch up with our next guest, our friend Dua Veed, who we met last year. You know, it was a Kevin and Bean listener, if you recall, Kevin, who tipped us off to a guy that he'd seen around town who was in love with a mannequin. And he tipped us off to this fact, and we were able to get a hold of Dua Veed. And not only that, we were able to make his dreams come true as Psycho Mike himself performed the ceremony that wed Dua Veed to his lady friend. I think we have the audio from last summer.
Do you, Dua Veed, Haka Hagwood no Guadale, take Clara, Haka Hanoha no Guadale, to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
And do you promise to hold her through thick and thin?
I do.
And to clean up after her when you've made a mess on her?
I do.
I now, by the power of the Church of Proctology of San Anselmo, Texas, pronounce you man and wife. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How do you feel at this moment?
Happy.
Yeah.
Happy for the first time in my life. Happy.
You may kiss the bride.
Happy, sweetheart.
Now, we've spoken with Dua Veed a couple of times since then, and they continue to be very happy together. I mean, apparently, it is a marriage made in heaven exactly as he thought, but there is some trouble in paradise, Kevin, and that's where Dua Veed may need our help.
Hey, Dua Veed.
Hi.
How are you doing? How have things been?
Well, I had two of my checks stolen from SSA, and as a result, we've been having to sleep in downtown Emergency Services Center in Seattle.
Wow, that's tough.
Yes.
Clara's not going to, she's not going to leave you.
This is the fourth time USA government has done this to me, and they get away with it because they're the USA government.
Yeah. So, okay. Now, the problem, though, that you're describing is completely separate from what's going on with Clara. You guys are still solid, right?
Yeah.
She's not going to leave you because you don't have a place to live.
Yeah.
Okay, good. All right.
See, here's what happened.
Well, we don't care about the checks part, Dua Veed, as sad as it is.
Here's what happened to Clara.
Okay.
Oh, go ahead.
Clara was thrown on the floor at a church called Union Gospel Mission the week after September 29th. And the aftermath was seen by several people.
Well, thrown on the floor?
Thrown on the floor.
That's no way to treat your wife.
What do you mean by aftermath?
I was in the men's toilet.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
And then somebody took Clara, your mannequin wife, and threw her on the floor.
Yes.
Wow.
And two of the ministers there, Union Gospel Mission, that's a famous church in Seattle.
Right. Oh, in Seattle.
Helped
that's
me by unscrewing the part that got damaged. And anyway, make a long story short, three people at the Lion Building, 607 Third Avenue, connected with DSC, named Melanie.
Okay, you're getting too far. Pardon me for interrupting. You're getting way too off topic here. So, how did you guys end up in Seattle? We married you in Southern California. I thought that's the next move after that was you were moving to Las Vegas. What happened to Vegas?
Well, Las Vegas is too hot.
Ah,
especially
for Clara.
Called heat intolerance. California, the check is being cut. The benefits are being cut by Arnold.
Right.
Nobody's stopping him.
Okay,
so
right. Okay.
We come up here
So now you're in Seattle, and you're having trouble.
And Seattle has not treated you well. You have not enjoyed your time in Washington.
No.
How do people that run into you on the street, how do they treat you? Because you are married to a mannequin.
Cold.
She's attractive.
Cold and nasty.
Oh, what?
Cold and nasty.
Oh, that's
it. It's like the streets and the sidewalks and crosswalks full of holes.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah,
I'm very sad to hear that my people have not welcomed you with open arms. I would have expected better of Seattleites.
I noticed it disappeared after 2 weeks of arriving here, August 4th.
Okay, so
it disappeared.
Now, what can we help you with now?
Well, I just called to say hello and.
But I thought there was something about you needed to get a visa or something so she could go to Canada with you.
Oh, well,
passport.
Canadian government Canada is too close to USA. We are working on getting Senator Patty Murray to get the papers together to get my first passport and saving up enough checks to get to Copenhagen, Denmark.
You want to go to Denmark?
Denmark.
Yes.
Okay.
Denmark, according to Mike at this number of the card that's helping repair Clara,
right,
is a very pretty country. Prettier than Canada.
Wow. Okay. Now, do you have a passport currently?
It's in the hands of the DOS who refuses to return it and refuses to explain to anybody why.
Oh, wow. That's trouble. Because I would think they would want to get you the hell out of the country. I would think they would be glad to give you a passport.
Yes. Well, the DOS
is that the Department of State? I don't know.
That's the name on the building.
Okay.
It doesn't say State Department. It says Department of State, 2301 C Street, Northwest.
Right. Okay. And you can't apply for another passport once they have yours?
You cannot apply for a passport unless you got your old passport in your hand.
Does Clara have a passport? Can she travel?
Excuse me?
Does she have a passport? Can she travel?
Yes.
She does. Okay.
She can.
Yes.
She's fine. Okay, so it's just you that's holding her up. Okay.
Yes.
Hey, how's the love life been going with Clara? A lot of times, has it been going great? Because a lot of times with newlyweds, it's great right at the beginning, and then it starts to fade out. Has there been less intimacy now that you guys have been married for a while?
Very, very sweet.
Very sweet.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, with all the trouble you're having in Seattle and with the government and the passport and everything, it's great that you've got a good woman by your side. That must make it at least go down a little bit easier for you.
That's fantastic.
What is broken on her that's being fixed?
The screen mechanism that goes from the legs into the torso.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah. The round thing, I don't know what they call it, it got broken almost in half.
Oh.
And these three people, whose office name I gave you.
Right. We don't need that detail. I just wanted to know, how fixable she was.
I can give you their phone number.
Don't need their phone number?
It's okay. Are they going to be able to repair her to your satisfaction?
They unscrewed that part, both ends. Her torso side and her leg side, and going to someplace, maybe Macy's, maybe Nordstrom, to see if they have another part exactly like this.
So they're going to try and find a matching mannequin.
No, not a matching mannequin. The part inside that got damaged.
I see.
Okay.
They hold both parts together.
Okay.
And then when they get that part, it's round.
They're going to fix it.
Screw it in with four Phillips head screws.
Okay.
Right. And fix her. Okay.
And the prints say, voila.
Right. So when she's repaired, are you guys then going to leave Seattle, or are you forced to stick around now to wait to get your passport back?
Okay. I have to wait until Senator Patty Murray gets the paperwork together and sends me a 1974 privacy form.
Do you get the idea that this is a priority for her?
There's not much else going on in Washington right now, Kevin.
I'm saying she's a senator. A lot of times, maybe they're busy.
It seems like somebody at a lower level on the food chain might be able to help you. Somebody at the building that you're in front of rather than all the way in Washington, D.C.
In fact, Mudge at the office that's repairing Clara even said the police in Washington act like Gestapo. That's the word he used.
Wow. Wow. Well, you got to get the hell out of here then. That's bad, yes. Livy. You don't need that. You and Clara don't need that.
Twice, and it's lovely.
Okay.
The places that right. have not adopted democracy are lovely.
All right. That's all right. A good motto. Listen, we're out of time for now. I am delighted that you two are still happy together, but I'm very sad to hear about some of the other trouble you're running into. I hope that you are patient and that you two will be reunited again soon and be able to live in whatever country you want to for the rest of your lives.
Thank you for your well wishes.
All right. You bet. Do it. We'll catch up with you in a couple months. Okay, buddy?
Okay.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Take care, sir.
Bye now.
Bye-bye. I'd be so sad if he left town.
That's for real, by the way. That's for real.
And, he is.
And it's a real mannequin. Yep. We're not making that up.
Dude, I'm 10 years away from being that dude. Come on.
Do you remember the moment with Bean when we had to do the wedding ceremony? Do you remember that?
I don't think I do.
Let me just give you a little refresher.
And now, a moment with Bean.
And by the way, look for Duavid in the carpool lane coming near to you soon.
Well said. Yeah.
That was a moment with Bean.
No. 106.7 K Rock. It's the world famous K Rock at 9:49. Oh. You can't. We've never been able to use the F word.
Once we did. Once.
But we weren't allowed.
Oh. Psycho Mike asked me to do it. He made me do it.
See? That's what he does to me all day.
He didn't write me little notes, though. He just flipped me off.
I hope there was money changing hands. I hope you didn't do it unless he offered to pay you to do it.
Yeah, I did it for laughs.
I did it for fun.
Laughs are more valuable than gold, my friend.
He likes the look on my face when it slowly occurs to me that I'm going to have to get out of delay.
Yeah, when you have to censor us.
Yeah, because it takes me a long time to get through that process.
Speaking of embarrassing things that you do in public, imagine you're at a major film festival and you win the award for Best Actress, but you've been cocktailing. And now you have to give an acceptance speech.
Awesome.
But you're loaded.
Awesome.
Well, you know I could pull that off.
Oh, that's right. Cheer for Craig Wilson.
I am good drunk. No doubt about that.
Lisa is to us what Mariah Carey was to the Palm Springs International Film Festival Tuesday night.
How did Mariah Carey win an award for acting, first of all?
For Precious. Based for Precious. On the novel Push by Sapphire.
Is she good in it?
She's great in it, by all accounts.
Yeah.
She won the Breakthrough Actress Award for her role as Precious's social worker.
Okay.
Here's the thing, though. It's one of those award shows where they have cocktails being served at the tables.
Those are the best ones.
And this award came late in the show. So Mariah Carey got up to accept her speech, and it sounded a little something like this.
For you, Mariah Kitten.
I don't think they understand the kitten and cotton thing.
I don't think we do.
No, we don't. Okay, I love you. I have to say...
I need another drink.
This is...
Time for a drink.
The drinks.
And please forgive me, because I'm a little bit...
drunk.
Drunk?
Yeah.
Yeah. Someone shouted drunk from the audience, and she said, yeah.
Hey, everybody! Craig Wilson?
She hides it well.
Look who's talking. Look who's talking, granola bars. Do you really want to get... Do you want to go there?
No. That's after, though. That's not
just because
during.
I can't do it doesn't mean I can't make fun of her for not being able to do
it's
it.
Like Kevin winning an award. Okay. I just have to say, I just drink water. As a matter of fact, I do.
That's pretty strong, though, that Mariah Carey tape.
Yeah, yes. That is. I heard a different clip, and I wasn't impressed by it, but this is great.
Yeah, that was Lee Daniels, her director, who gave her the award. Apparently, they were cocktailing together and just got up on stage, all kinds of hunked up. And she said, look, it happens. We were having champagne. I hadn't eaten much. Next thing you know, in front of a microphone, she said, people have to understand. Hopefully people understand and have a sense of humor. That's basically what gets me through life. Look, if I was at an award show and Mariah Carey got an award for acting, I'd have a few drinks too. You know what I'm saying?
And by the way, if everyone drank, I would watch a lot more award shows.
I agree.
Yeah, they're way more fun.
They would
fun.
Be so much better.
Speaking of drinking, comedian Artie Lang went to the hospital over the weekend. Turns out we know why. He tried to kill himself by stabbing himself.
Stabbing himself?
His mother found him on the floor of his apartment in Hoboken, New Jersey, which is enough to make you kill yourself in the first place, by the way, with 9 self-inflicted knife wounds. Police called 6 of them hesitation cuts and then 3 deep wounds where he actually was able to plunge the knife in. Surgeons were able to save him. Apparently, he is stable condition at the hospital.
Fat. He's got to feel like a failure, though, don't you think?
I'm guessing for many reasons. He has to, yes.
Stab yourself. I don't know that I've ever heard. I mean, there are.
That's pretty rare.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Except for Juliet and Romeo and Juliet. I can't think of anyone who ever plunged a dagger into their own heart.
Did his fat save him? I mean, I'm not joking here. Is that is it possible that you didn't hit a major organ because there was, you know, a buffer?
I don't know. Depends on where he was stabbing, too, you know?
Right.
I'm guessing he was flipping around and caught a beer league in reruns on the TV and just reach for the nearest sharp object. That's all I can imagine is what happened.
Hey, Tubby! Want another Pop-Tart, Tubby?
And do you remember Boys to Men?
Yes.
Sure.
New York Philly back again?
Yep.
Wasn't that them?
So Hard to Say Goodbye to Yesterday, sure. End of the Road.
Lionheads, End of the Road was one of the biggest songs.
Detroit Philly back again.
20 years or something, wasn't it?
Yeah. Sean Stockman was one of the Boys to Men. Still is, mm-hmm. I guess. Once a Boys to Men, always a Boys to Men. That's what I'm guessing. Here's the thing. Interesting report has come out about Sean. He has been cheating on his wife for the past 9 years with another woman named Evante Cherie. Evante. She's a swimsuit model.
Okay.
Now, Evante and Sean had a relationship before he married his wife, Sharhanda, in 2001.
This story has everything.
Cherie and Stockman apparently continued their relationship through the course of the marriage. But the best thing, it's not uncommon for people to have affairs, the best thing for me is Sean Stockman's excuse, which he says he is an Israelite.
What?
And the Israelite faith allows for multiple wives or partners, according to Sean.
It does?
I buy it.
His faith allows male followers to marry and have sexual partners of up to 7 women.
Does his wife know about
this? Here's the thing, Lisa. According to the source of the story, Mr. Stockman's wife had been oblivious to this fact for the past 9 years.
To mention it.
I guess he forgot to mention that part of his faith.
She should be more supportive of him then.
That's what I'm saying. It's a religious choice.
I blame her for not being more aware of what was important to her man.
I would sit her down and say, Sharhanda, you and I need to have a conversation about my religious faith. I am an Israelite. Now, Evante understands that.
Evante
Why
does.
Can't you?
Yeah. 9 years, by the way. That's...
Let us know how that works out for him, because I want some precedence before I try it.
Yeah, Bean all of a sudden is going to Israelite services every week. Found a religion he can get behind.
He's exhausted from turning away all the women. So he wants
he needs at least 7 wives.
Find a religion that will allow it.
I would be so tired with 7 wives.
We've got Snooki.
No, we don't have Snooki.
We don't?
We've never had Snooki.
It was the situation. Sorry.
And anybody here Netflix? Any Netflixers in the crowd?
Absolutely.
Yes.
You like
love the Netflix?
Lisa and Bean do it. I never have.
I know Lisa's a big Netflixer. I'm just starting to Netflix. My wife Netflixes mostly for us.
Okay.
Which means a lot of Sandra Bullock.
Right.
And Sarah Jessica Parker in the house.
Wow.
I finally had to put my foot down. I said, will you just get one movie that I can watch? One.
Can't you just intercept them and send them back?
I guess I could.
Of course,
I don't know what
happened. You put a list on the Netflix. They keep sending to you. When you send them back, they send you one back.
Oh, I see.
It's a never-ending list.
True. Donna goes onto the queue all the time and moves all of her movies to the top, and then I have to go back in and move all my movies back to the top. It's a constant struggle.
Anyway, if you're a Netflix fan and you're a fan of Warner Brothers movies, you're not going to be happy with this news. Uh-oh. Yesterday, Netflix and Warner Brothers came to an agreement where Netflix will allow Warner Brothers a 28-day grace period for all their new releases to go on sale before they offer them via Netflix.
Wow.
That super sucks.
So if you want to see Sherlock Holmes or The Blind Side when they finally hit DVD or Blu-ray, you're going to have to wait a month if you're a Netflixer before you can put that on your queue and get it.
A month.
But you can...
A month.
But you can buy it.
You can buy it at Best Buy or one of the other ones. Yeah. Wow. That's what the deal is. But Warner Brothers wants you to go pay full price, buy the DVD, and watch it at your home rather than ordering it from Netflix for
that's kind of crappy
for cents on the dollar.
Not for those of us that don't use Netflix.
So in exchange, Warner's is increasing the number of catalog films that Netflix can offer to their subscribers, either direct, you know, they can do you direct to your TV now. You can do it, you can download it right to your TV, as well as get the disc.
Oh, so they don't have to mail it to you.
You can go through the internet. Yeah, you can get downloaded. They're increasing that, and so you'll be able to stream more films and direct to video and catalog films and that kind of stuff. And Netflix says 70% of their business comes from catalog films, back catalog films,
really?
Not the new releases.
Really?
So only 30% of their business will be affected. They said they're not too concerned.
Huh.
However, Blockbuster and other sources like Redbox will still be offering new releases
right away
to its customers right away. So they got to be happy about that.
I'm very disappointed with this news. Like this week, I have Jennifer's Body arriving because it just came out on DVD this week. If that were a Warner Brothers movie and this policy were in effect, I wouldn't be able to see it for a month. That would suck.
Well, take it up with your congressman.
I will.
Today's celebrity birthdays: David Caruso is 54 years old today. Katie Couric turns 53. Nicolas Cage, 46 years old today. More of a 46 protector. I don't even know what that means, Nick. Dougie Doug is 40. And Dustin Diamond, Screech, Saved by the Bell, celebrates his 33rd birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Kevin and Bean Show, tomorrow morning, an all-new program. We have Gary Coleman. We have Yvonne Strahovski.
Oh!
And we have Adam Carolla, as it is Friday. So that's tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
See you then. Cat Corbett is next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music.